Camelot.
It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome
to your new home.
Let us ride
to
I'm 37.
Well, I can't just call you man. You could say Dennis. I didn't know you were called Dennis.
You didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you look...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
But I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. How do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, this will be lovely filth down here.
How do you do, good lady?
I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of who?
The Britons.
We are all Britons.
And I am your king.
I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
There you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
Who is your lord?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. I'm your king.
You don't vote for kings?
Why did you become king then? The lady of the lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government.
Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet.
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you. If I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bit had lugged a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up, will you?
Now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Come and see the violence inherent in the system.
Help, I'm being repressed, bloody peasant.
Oh, what a giveaway. Do you hear that? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it in...
Was that ant just corrupted?
Yeah, but would you forget about him?
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boys, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Nope.
Did that hurt?
How about this one?
Nope. Well, how about this one? Are you kidding me? How about this?
let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
In constant sorrow through his day. I've seen trouble all my place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends. No friends to help him now. It's fairly well, my only lover. I never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunny Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave. While he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs. Mostly safe, hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
The Turbo! All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com, and to the People for People radio over there, there's a link for you to go over and visit their website as well. And all the other affiliated networks, you can find links all over this website, so you can go listen to other radio networks. If you don't like what it sounds like over here or what we're talking about, there's a lot of people talking about a lot of stuff out there today. Woohoo! Anyway, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms, and who knows, maybe we can squeeze another two or three or four or five or ten in there. Huh. Yeah, there we go. So anyway, sorry about that beginning there, a little bumpy ride on the way in the door of the Knights of the Round Table. Apparently, you know, I was trying a tuning fork experiment to see if my microphone would actually pick up a tuning fork, and I forgot to shut the lock talk button off. So whenever you got the lock talk button and you're trying to play stuff, you also get the microphone along with some background whatever's being said. So that would be reverbing back and forth off the speaker. Woohoo! Ha! Alright, so, you know, things happen. Alright, well, here we go again. Alright, well, anyway, the God Helmet. Yeah, that was an experiment, and this video actually was probably back from December 23rd of 2011. So I'm just going to play, it's only like 5 minutes and 15 seconds. I'm just going to play it straight across over there with the microphone open in case I got something intelligent to say. All right, here we go.
I guess I was sort of in a state of fear where I didn't want to turn around and look.
A very friendly, welcoming feeling at one instance.
I'm starting to feel very anxious and very cold. The outlines of a human body almost complete in total panic. Very visual experiences. One of the first ones.
Here at Laurentian University in Sudbury, Ontario, a team is investigating certain common perceptions of the inner mind.
We'll be taking a baseline recording first.
Mm-hmm. Right now, they're looking at the electromagnetic brain patterns seen in people having the near-death experience.
To compare that.
The research is led by Dr. Michael Persinger.
Basically, at any given time, all experience is due to those portions of the brain that are most metabolically active. If we can simulate that by applying complex, meaningful magnetic fields to the brain, we can also induce those experiences.
This experiment is testing the idea that mystical perceptions and paranormal experiences can be turned on at will, not by hypnosis or shamanic drumming, but by a scientist stimulating nerve activity in the brain. Volunteer sits blindfolded in a soundproof chamber. This sensory deprivation allows the mind to focus on electromagnetic patterns transmitted across the brain through this modified crash helmet.
If you feel anything change with the electrodes?
They're able to simulate the exact brain patterns that occur in near-death experiences.
Is that comfortable?
Dr. Persinger hopes the research will benefit psychotherapy.
We tried to evoke the fragments that compose the near-death experience and other mystical experiences, such as detachment, feelings of moving through a tunnel, hearing voices, the sense of a presence, usually on the left side. Our major thrust is ultimately to apply this to dealing with things such as psychological depression.
while, I remember feeling that there was someone else in the room with me, almost looking over my left shoulder. It was all I could do to not turn my head and want to look.
If you stimulate the deep portions of the temporal lobe, so you can get very, very vivid imagery, and the emotional commitment or the emotional sensation that something is profound, real, cosmically real, and personally significant.
It's a male voice, but it's like really, really far away. As if you can just sort of like catch a tone you can't really hear. You can tell that it's someone talking. You can distinguish that. But you can't make out any kind of words or anything like that.
What we've been doing recently is generating words as magnetic patterns. And even though the person isn't hearing it through their ears, their brain is interpreting it. So they're actually having fragments of experiences as if they're hearing it, when in actual fact they cannot be.
These experiences are so strong, they're utterly real for the person who has them. They can be as profound as a religious conversion, yet we can generate them with a machine. These mind games are beginning to shed their secrets. The scientist becomes the shaman. But where are the limits? What else can people be made to believe?
Well, one thing that's really clear, you can control the person's experiences, and they don't know they're being controlled. That's why this technology is a potentially powerful one and has a two-edge to its sword.
As a tool of science, this technology may bring us valuable new understandings of the obscure depths of the human mind. But there's a dark side. In the wrong hands, could it become an instrument of power, a means of oppression? If we're not careful, will mind games one day become mind control? Next on TLC.
No, there ain't no next on TLC. That was that. You done had your chance to talk, mister. Now it's old King Shaziz the Terrible's time. Ha! So, what do y'all think about that? The God Helmet, you know, it's an experiment that they did to give people experiments or experiences by putting electromagnetic waves out there. Now keep in mind, this particular video was all the way back in 2011, so I'm pretty sure that the experiment was probably maybe a year or so, maybe longer prior to that, but nonetheless, they were able to, I need to pull in reinforcements here while I'm thinking about it, because this joke could get a little out of hand if we got somebody to, you know, keep everything calm and stuff like that, because, you know, if there's a helmet out there, the God Helmet, alright, well, they're going to mess around and give people all kinds of visuals or illusions and stuff like that. And I can't help but think about all these doggone radio towers that they got nowadays. I'm thinking, well, if this little helmet could do that, could you imagine what somebody could do if they decided they wanted to tap that equipment into the cell phone towers? Well, anyway, I think that it could open up a business. You know, I think we could be entrepreneurs in the future of... future of humanity. So basically, we could use. I posted a deal in the chat room. A Faraday cage or a Faraday shield is an enclosure used to block electromagnetic fields. A Faraday shield may be formed by a continuous covering of conductive material, and in the case of Faraday cage, a mesh of such material. So basically, like chicken wire or some sort of window screen or something like that. So I think what we need to do in order to start our entrepreneurship or our business would be to literally go out and find somebody who can sew really well. And we're going to start making hats, you know, maybe beanies with propellers and solar panels and stuff like that. I mean, we got to make them look intelligent because, you know, that's just the way it goes. They got a God helmet, and, you know, it, and according to the video, it didn't look really that, you know, impressive. I've seen sci-fi that was better than that. But nonetheless, you know, they were able to put these thoughts in people's head just by using electromagnetic waves, and the one girl's explaining how she could actually hear a voice, but there wasn't really no voice there. They were inducing this voice in her mind. And so I'm thinking like this. We go into business, we make us some chicken wire helmets or, you know, some doggone window screen sewed inside of some hats or some beanies or something. You know, there's a lot of different styles of hats, so you could maybe have a top hat or something like that. You know, I know it sounds a bit crazy, but think about this for real. If you're running around through life minding your own affairs and people are jacking with your brain and making you see things that you're not, like, for example, I could be driving down the road minding my own affairs and they beam into my car, you know, and next thing I know, I got cops chasing me down the road, so I mash the gas, right, and I'm flying down the road and everything, and I'm trying to get away from the cops. And, you know, there really wasn't no cops there to begin with, but now that I done went and started flying down the road and tried to get away from cops, now there really is cops on my tail. So I wouldn't know the difference between the real cops or the fictional cops. And then, you know, it could be like they put it in my brain that there's a bad guy trying to get me, and so I really go for broke trying to get away from him, right? And then I get out, and we get in this big old fight because all I see is monsters and zombies and crazy stuff. And the next thing you know, I'm down there in the rubber room with a straight jacket, and they got me. So I know that sounds kind of, you know, far-fetched, but what about it? I mean, seriously, if somebody decided I said something that I shouldn't have said, and they didn't like it, like they heard my show today on Knights of the Round Table, and they heard me talking about the God helmet in an adverse way or something like that, and they said, well, you know, we're going to get that old Shaziz. He ain't going to play us like no banjo. And so basically they'll just beam into my brain there something crazy, you know, and I'll be smashing my walls up in my house thinking there's spiders all over the place. Now you hear stuff like this when people's on all kinds of different types of, you know, heavy duty drugs, narcotics or something like that. They're freaking out, you know, drop about 10 or 15 to 20 hits of acid, and they're running around thinking there's bugs crawling all over them. I don't want to live like that. I mean, so I'm going to have to think ahead of time. You know, the tinfoil I don't think is going to work. You know, that's for the conspiracy side of things. You know, you put your tinfoil hat on and it gives you the thinking power. But the Faraday cage, on the other hand, now I think that could work. That could disperse the magnetic waves, and if we could actually have a ground wire that went all the way down and maybe went to the bottom of our shoe, so any wave they sent in would be grounded out. You know, it's terrible that you'd actually have to think about some sort of option to defend yourself against some sort of mad science folks out there. Not the mad science crew over here, but the crazy scientists that the government employs to do all these things. You know, we've had a lot of talks about mind control and all kinds of stuff like that. But this is more like minds out of control. I mean, who's to stop anybody from actually exercising this particular style of technology? You know, maybe the bad guys go in the bank and they say, all right, you know, they push this button and everybody thinks that the bank's gone, you know, and they don't see nothing but nothing. And then the bad guys just walk over and fill up their loot bag with some money and, you know, head on out the door. When's it stop? I don't know. I mean, they could make the people in the bank see all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, they might think there's snakes crawling all over the place, and everybody who works in the bank's going to run up out of there because they know it's just an illusion, and the guy wearing the chicken screen hat, well, he's going to stay there and collect his reward, so to speak. Anyway, that sounds kind of crazy. I'm sure it does. I mean, but, you know, if you go back and actually look at it, there is really a sign that they tested that was a big billboard, and people walked by, and nobody was actually talking, but they were sending a signal out of this sign to say, you know, hey, check this out or whatever, and people thought they were hearing, and they were looking around trying to see who was talking. There wasn't nobody talking. So the technology is actually there. Yeah, and that experiment right there, like I said, that was 2011 when that video came out, and they called it the God Helmet Experiment, and so they actually did some experiments on people and asked them what they seen, what they felt, and all that kind of stuff. Some of them said they saw God. Some of them saw worse. Some of them saw demons or black pits or whatever, you know. It's pretty crazy when you're talking about messing with the human mind. I personally would like to be left alone. That would be nice, you know, that I just, everything that I see, that's my own reality and perception. But now that I know there's an option of, you know, somebody tinkering around, you know, what's to stop them from, you know, basically scaring the crud out of the public on a regular basis, you know, instead of being able to see what's actually occurring over there. You see something crazy going on, everyone's freaking out, and, you know, hey, the government to the rescue. Does that sound far-fetched to you? I mean, seriously, folks. If this technology actually exists, which apparently it does, they did a documentary about it, and if we know that there's actually, it was a sign that they did at one point in time that actually did that kind of stuff, the guy at the end of the deal said, you know, it basically, and I'm just paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something to the extent is that this was in the wrong hands. That's the question you have to ask. Whose hands is it in that they got this technology? So, I'm going to add somebody else to this call because I think I'm going to need more reinforcements. And we're going to have to figure out how to get these doggone helmets made before the... before the powers that be or whatever. Doggone it, there it is. Okay. Okay. Now... Hello, Barbara. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm not crazy yet.
Well, those doggone aluminum foil hats, we might have to change them out for some chicken wire or some window screen.
Well, I want a couple of nice peacock feathers on mine, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, we could design them any way we want. You know, I just kind of think, you know, me being a mad science guy, I want something that's got, like, propellers and solar panels and, you know, some flashy
you
things.
Know, yeah, like stripes or rainbows or feathers and, you know, I mean, I know we're making fun with this, but this subject is a really serious, well, it's a really serious subject.
It really is, but, you know, it just blows my mind. There's that words again.
we better stop using those words. Yeah. I don't know, because what you believe in happens.
Well, I'm thinking that if they got the technology, they were going to start beaming crazy stuff in my head, then I'm going to take and divert that using all the alternative energy research that I've done to use my Faraday cage as, you know, basically an antenna. So every time they try to beam something crazy in me, all the LEDs alight and a little propeller turn, and, you know, they'll give me free air conditioning every time they try to, you know, mess with my brain, so to speak. What do you think?
Well, I think they are messing with your brain.
Yeah.
You don't know it.
that's the thing. No.
Well, you know, I have to say, I don't know if you want to go there, but I just finished... binge watching Jericho.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about that too.
And oh my, I have to say, because I was saying, you know, I mean, Patty also, we got onto it. We got binge watching.
Yeah.
And because you know, she was told for years by people, oh, you have to watch Jericho. Oh, you have to watch Jericho. And she figured, nah, you know, it's probably just some one of those dumb sci-fi things, right? Well, when you mentioned it, it's the first time I ever heard of Jericho.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, let me check it out, you know. And I was like, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, all through this thing. Because, I mean, yeah, there's love stories intertwined in the whole thing, love stories and blah. But there's messages in there that from, like, so was it around 2006 this Jericho came out?
Yeah, I can't remember the actual date, but
I think Patty said 2006 they gave us a warning. Everything pretty much they've said in there has occurred. And, you know, we've realized this over time, right? That what they show us in these types of movies and in the, you know, in the theater and the movies, but also on TV, these episodes, they're really giving us the whole layout of what's going to happen.
Yeah,
watching this Jericho thing, it's amazing to me how the falling into place. It's just like laying down a paper trail, and it's right there in front of us. So I was like, wow, I was pretty amazed.
Yeah,
you know, so
I didn't overstate it, did I? When I told you about that?
No, you didn't. And I have to say, though, you have to be aware. You have to be alert of some of the things already.
Yeah.
You have to have some information already. You have had to, you must have done some research already in order to pick up the little signals, signs that they give you, because it moves along fast. And if you don't get it, you know, if you don't know, if you're not aware or awake, you won't pick these things up. It's right there in your face.
Yeah, and I don't know how far you are into the series. Have you got to the school book portion yet?
I did. I'm done. I finished last night.
What'd you think about that?
All what we've talked about. They've already done the school book thing. You know, they've already changed our history. They're working on that right now. You say, well, they're taking down these statues. Yeah, they're doing this. Because they're going to change history, and they have been. We know the history all along has been manipulated and a lie, but now they're changing our century's information.
Yeah, the century we grew up in. Now suddenly...
Some people
call it the Mandela effect, all right? Well, you know, maybe just it ain't the Mandela effect. Maybe it's just the fact that they're changing the history, and you already know because you lived the history, and suddenly certain things are different than what you grew up knowing. And so that could be another portion of the whole... Basically, messing with your mind kind of thing, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's all about messing with your mind, and we've talked about that brainwashing system, and now it's going through different technology channels where people are being affected, doing weird, crazy things that you go, holy, what's going on with these people? And then you look at their faces, nobody's home. And these people, a lot of these people who are doing stuff are saying, well, I heard this voice.
Yeah.
I heard this voice in my head, you know, and this is going on a daily basis. So it's not just random thing. We're talking, well, they tested it on that billboard, right?
Yeah.
But they've been testing this behind our backs. So, let's go to the American embassy in Cuba. You saw what happened there, right?
Here recently?
Oh, yeah.
No, just go ahead.
Recently, there were some things going on in the embassy in Cuba where they had to leave finally because people were having severe headaches, nose bleeding. There were things that they felt like they were losing their minds. Well, literally, they were losing their minds. They became very ill, and you know they looked everything, they investigated everything, and they said, and I'm paraphrasing here. That they believed that somebody was shooting some type of, I'm going to use the term electromagnetic pulses at them, that were affecting them severely.
Now see, it don't surprise me in the least because when we talk about this technology, it even goes all the way back to the Iraq War. Now, we were told on the TV over and over and over again how well-trained Saddam's Republican Guard were and how dangerous they were and how they were going to... Basically, Saddam said that you bring American soldiers up against the Republican Guard, you better be ready, to have some body bags or whatever. I'm, once again, paraphrasing. That's not exact words that were said, but that was the general gist of the whole deal. And for some reason... there were soldiers that were given up in masses. I mean, they were actually coming over hugging the soldiers of the American soldiers and glad to be was captured, so to speak. they gave up. You see what I mean? There wasn't no big massive fight going on in this particular incident. Now, I'm asked to ask the question, what kind of shenanigans was going on there whenever you got some soldiers that are coming up crying and hugging and want to yell, peace, man, yeah, I'm glad you're here, or whatever. Either one of two things either happened. Either their town or their country was so terrible that they just wanted to get away from it, or there was somebody using some sort of technology to literally beam stuff in their mind to make them afraid or whatever, and thinking that the enemy was now the friend. Now, can I prove that? No, that's just a story that came down the pipeline of the conspiracy world, but nonetheless, it was a story that was told. What do you think?
Well, I kind of believe it, and I don't want to lose track of Jericho here, but I'm taking this sidetrack here with the Cuba thing, because this attack, which may have been caused by sonic wave machine, they're saying, started in December of this year. But they didn't notice a pattern to the symptoms until 2 months later. Okay, so I popped the information in the chat so people can, you know, so they had mild traumatic brain injury. How can traumatic brain injury be mild? I don't know. Headaches, dizziness, hearing loss. They said experts suspect a sonic attack. And basically, the mystery deepened when Canada said that some of its employees had also become ill.
Well, let me try to put something in perspective so people can get a general idea of how easy it is to affect the brain. If you take, like, say you go out one night and you get you a fifth of whiskey or Jim Beam or whatever the heck it is you want to drink, just guzzle that down. Well, you know, you get all happy and maybe even some projectile vomiting and falling all over yourself. But nonetheless, there's something that happens there. Your brain now, because of the alcohol, swells and it presses against the side of your skull. And so, you know, you're like in the la-la land. Well, the moment that that stuff starts to wear off and your brain begins to recede the skull, you get what's called a hangover. That's because your brain is in pain, quite literally. And so we know how a microwave oven actually heats water. Well, the same thing, because your brain is actually floating in liquid inside your skull and has water content in there. So literally, if somebody wanted to beam a microwave to your brain, they could actually boil your brain right there. Since the body is at 98.6 degrees, it wouldn't take much over 103, to basically fry your brain. And, you know, that's worst case scenario. You're dead. But nonetheless, just by, sending waveforms through that brain, your brain is electrical. It's a chemical, electrical device. It actually sends signals electrically to little deals inside your head. And so, just like that pod that I played there, the lady was talking about how she could actually hear a voice, and the guy said, well, we put a voice in there, and there's no way she could have heard it other than how she did hear it, you know, via the brain, whatever. But that's how simple it is. This technology that's readily available.
Well, it's been available. We know about HAARP, right? H-A-A-R-P. For years now, right? And finally, when they found out, or the public, let's say the investigators or whatever, or the conspiracy nutcases, found out. Because Nick Begich, I think his name was, he was in Europe. I think he was in Germany. I don't know, visiting on vacation with his wife and hanging out in the cafe, whatever. And he was reading the paper, the local paper, and he saw this article on what was going up in Alaska area where he was actually from. They lived there, and how this experiment, now this was an article from that German government, I guess, or somebody, how they find out things, what's going on in our country, right, that we don't even know about.
Yep.
And he read this article about this HAARP place, H-A-A-R-P, how it was using electromagnetic waves, I'm going to use that term again, on a level, and the purpose was supposedly to affect the minds of, you know, any alien subjects coming in for war, where they could basically zombify those soldiers. They were doing experiments on animals, and it was affecting animals, so they knew it worked, and so he came back to the United States and started to investigate, and found some people who actually worked there, who had quit or who had been fired or whatever. The same thing with CERN, you know, finding out what is really going on, that is not a good thing. It's really pretty dark, you know, as a weapon, and now they're using it on their own people. Well, are you surprised? Wait a second now. Our United States government would never use or test any kind of weaponry or
chemical. Oh, no, you can always trust your government. Man, you can always trust your government. That's what, you know.
Well, go do the research. It's all out on the web. You can find the many tests throughout the centuries that they have done on their own people, folks. So you got to get rid of the, oh, no, our government would never do that crap, because that is a bunch of crap. And listen, I thought that way myself.
Yep.
I'm 74. And I can remember, as a young woman, I was so proud of being, you know, I'm an American. Our country is the best country. We're the good guys, because that's what I grew up with. We're the good guys trying to help all those other people out there in the world who are really messed up, who need to be, you know, following the way we live, you know. And I was, when I started to find out how we have all been manipulated and brainwashed, and, yeah, the other people in the other parts of the world, too. So we are not the good guys. And there are good people, but we are not the good guys, because I'm talking about the deep state.
The bad guys are the ones that have all the money.
We know you can call them the elite. You can call them the cabal. You can call them the, you know, Rockefellers and the this guys and that ones and the Bilderbergs and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there's somebody way, way, way at the top.
Well, I believe that as well. You know, while it's on my mind, I think back about, because you had mentioned earlier that they show us things in movies, and I'd really like to get back to that Jericho thing in a minute, but I want to mention something about the movie Mars Attacks, because something you was telling me about, what, between CERN and the other deal at HAARP, it triggered a thought in my mind. There was a song, when in the movie Mars Attack, there was a song that was like a real terrible song, I guess, and probably not very popular on the charts, but nonetheless, that particular song is what they used to explode the aliens' brains whenever they... That's how
okay.
They won.
Oh, you know, Shazuz, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, because my mind is going a rapid mile a minute, as I know yours is. So we got Jericho, we've got HAARP, we've got brains exploding, we've got the near-death experience, the reality of that, we've got the falsifying of that through, this is, you know, can only be done by machines, or is this real, is God real, the God helmet, blah, blah, blah. So we've got a lot to talk about today. So my mind is kind of spinning, but I just want to mention, okay, the Jericho thing. So I finished it up, right?
Yeah.
I was binging on it. So Patty and I were laughing, so she stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, because I was a little ahead of her.
Yeah.
watching Jericho. And we were on Skype. Oh, my, did you see that? Did you get that one? Did, you know, so on, right? So this was a journey that we kind of took down the rabbit hole. It's not just the series on TV, folks, as we are very well aware now. There are certain of these types of series that... Okay, let's talk about X-Files. I'm going to... People out there are screaming, tell us about Jericho! We keep diverting.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get back to it. I remember when the X-Files first came out. Did you?
Yeah.
Ever watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Now, I sat up on the edge of my seat, and I said, wow, somebody is really on it here.
Yeah.
Because everything they were talking about, you know, I already knew it. And when the X-Files came out, I was like, on it. I was a steady watcher because I know, okay, somebody is a whistleblower here. They're really disclosing it. And, you know, I didn't pay too much attention who the director or the writers were. But in the beginning, they were on it. They were on it, the black, you know, the men in black, you know. Yeah. I mean, the conspiracy, the government conspiracy, the controlling, blah, all that stuff was the hidden government, everything. Was right on the money.
Yep.
And I don't know, then over time, they brought in stupid stuff, like Stephen King's episodes, and I was like, okay, that's it. They were, something happened, as we know.
They were probably getting too close to the actual truth of things, and so that probably got attention in the wrong way, because I think even Hollywood, even though they put stuff out, I think they're fearful of, you know, just basically coming out and convincing people that things are real, so to speak. But
well, let's say that you are under the ownership. You are owned, no matter who you are, by the deep state or the cabal or the whatever, whoever it is.
Yep.
Which we kind of know, but that's a whole other discussion. We've already discussed that. But let's say that you're one of them, and you've sold your soul to the devil, because that's really what this is about.
Yep.
And you get set up. Okay, you can make this movie, but we're going to tell you what you're going to put in that movie, because we're given the... Here's how I see it. People are following the breadcrumbs to the forest, into the darkest place in that forest. And guess who's at the end of those breadcrumbs? The big bad wolf.
Yep.
So the breadcrumbs are being dropped for everybody. And I'm saying to, well, okay, why do they do this? Why do they, right in our face, give us all this vital information that is real?
I think I have an answer.
Okay, go ahead. I know, but you tell us.
I think that the reason why they put it right out there in front of your face is because, you know, whenever you watch these movies, and, you know, it's all according to the way you've been kind of indoctrinated, is that it's all make-believe and this and that. And so if you watch this movie and it shows something real in there, and you go start telling everybody, hey, you know, I think this is real, and they'll be like, well, you've been watching too much X-Files, man. You're one of those conspiracy folks, you know. It's just a movie, you know. They wouldn't really do that, you know. So it makes it easier. Plausible deniability, because it's just a cartoon or it's just a movie.
Right. Here's my theory.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, even though Jericho, if you go back and look at the date that doggone show aired, and you look at current events, what are they talking about? Current events? They're talking about nuclear bombs in North Korea. You know?
Well, here's the thing. So this was it. It's all set up. So what are we dealing with now? We're dealing with the big issue of North Korea and Iran.
Yep.
And in that movie, the so-called nuclear attacks on our country was basically they were told that we were attacked by North Korea and Iran.
Yep.
And that was a lie in the movie.
Yeah.
It was a lie. Now, fast forward to today. What's the big thing going on? All the hoo-ha is about North Korea's nukes and now Iran's the nuclear, you know,
yeah,
whatever thing.
And poor Hawaii's getting all these drills where they're sending people texts and saying there's an incoming ballistic missile, and they're putting their kids down storm drains to try to save them from the deal, and then they find out like 45 minutes later that, you know,
that was a setup. Here's what I'm looking at. Here's my theory. Check it out. My theory is that, okay, my question was, okay, why do they give us all these breadcrumbs? Where are they leading us, number one, and why the breadcrumbs? Okay, so they're all the false flags, like the Hawaii thing was a false flag, and all these other false flags in the past couple of years we've been noticing, all right? Why are they doing this false flag by Jade Helm coming in and all these mercenaries coming in to do just, oh, they're just doing a skirmish. Don't worry. They're going to be in your town, in your city, and they're just going to, it's just a practice drill. Okay. So these are all false flags, but they're giving us the breadcrumbs. So the breadcrumbs basically, you know, are testing us, our intelligence, how much we are awake, how much do we really know, or how dumbed down is society where they just say exactly what you just said. Well, that's just a conspiracy.
Yeah.
There's nothing real about it. So they're testing us. It's like, you know, hold, wet your finger, hold it up and see which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah. That sounds right on the dime to me.
Here's with the Jericho thing. I found out, because at the end, well, you know what happened at the end. The United States became divided. Is our United States heading for division at this moment that we know of?
It seems like it.
It seems like it, isn't it? Now, isn't that a part of an agenda? They want to divide the people. They're doing very well at that, by the way. Dividing us. Keeping us from standing strong together in unity. They've been pushing this division, this separateness, this violence, this hatred against the other and so on and so forth deliberately. And now you have, was it Texas or California say they want to secede from the...
Yeah, part of California wants to secede from the other part of California.
Okay, so now in the movie, they showed the map.
They had two Californias.
Exactly. Then you have all these states divided. Oh, you've got Texas as a main player here.
Yep.
Right? And you've got the state of Cheyenne or whatever the heck, the government of Cheyenne now, which is a farce, which is basically the ones who are manipulating all this. I guess you'd say, well, there's the good guys and the bad guys. But what they're doing is they're setting up that the states are divided in this movie now. So you have all these states that
were like three separate presidents.
Yeah, they had several presidents vying for position. But this huge corporation, so this is what we're looking at, a huge corporation. What the heck was the name of that corporation?
Oh, I can't remember.
But this huge corporation is the one basically behind controlling the whole country.
Yep.
Okay, they're putting themselves in this position. And these people are not nice.
And you know it had been going on for quite some time because they had pre-printed school books and a new flag and all this. And they came in under the guise of saving people.
Yeah, so the end of the movie was a big message. Did you get it?
Remind me.
Okay, so at the end of the movie, here they are. They got this one atomic bomb, or what is it, a nuke. They got the one nuke that they're running around with it. That one guy is trying to save it.
Yeah.
So they said North Korea and Iran were to blame for nuking the United States and taking out two different countries, which they didn't really tell us who that was.
Well, we had the evidence that it was not what everybody thought.
No, but that one nuke is the one that is the remaining evidence of who actually set the whole thing up. So they're running around trying to save this nuke, this one guy, this other guy, the son of the mayor of the town and blah, 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 town of Jericho. And they're running for their life and they wind up trying to get it to this one embassy in at the Cheyenne government. The embassy is there. It's a free, what do they call it when you have, an embassy in a country?
Diplomatic immunity? I don't know.
It's a diplomatic immunity spot, okay? So they found out that this government being set up in Texas with several states was going to were thinking of joining the Cheyenne false government, the dirty guys, right?
Yeah.
So they were trying to get the information to them to not do that, because that if they did that, that would be the end of the United States. That would be it. We'd be under complete control of this corporation. So in the end, they're at the embassy there, the Texas embassy, and they're being attacked by the military that is under this corporation. Now this is became basically the whole country became filled with mercenaries that were really dirty people.
Oh yeah.
And the U.S. supposedly the new government or the new military, the good guys, okay, were under actually the false the ones who started all this mess, the evil guys, we'll call them, that corporation. So the military was duped as well. So they're trying to get things back together again. So here they are at this embassy. They've got the nuke, And they're trying to get out of there to get back to Texas so that they can. They finally got, you know, the Texas government or whomever they are trying to believe them. Okay, they got the nuke right there. They saw it. They saw all these papers, all these documents, the false information about Iran and North Korea. So they're on the way in the plane and so on, right? They're attacked and blah, blah. So they finally get to Texas, and they finally secure that nuke. And now, in the last moment, the two guys, the black guy who worked for the, you know, the hidden government, FBI, I think that he was, and the son of the mayor of Jericho,
yeah.
They're talking, and they came to the conclusion, this was like the very last words of what this means now. It means basically civil war. It's the next revolutionary war, civil war, the second one,
yep,
in this country, which says basically continuing war between the states and the people here in this country.
Yeah, and the towns were fighting against the towns throughout the whole series for food and resources and power, and oh, it was a mess. That's why I told everybody, I said, you need to watch this series and really seriously contemplate on whether or not you want to live in this type of circumstance. I wouldn't. I mean, it was bad. And
so, well, what I concluded from this is that I realized that everything that movie showed us was actually being laid out in reality.
Yeah.
And that was a mind blower. So we have a moment here in time, people, because they're really pushing us into this whole thing. The North Korea and Iran is a threat to this country, and they're making it known that. That's a deliberate, right?
Yeah.
So they want the bad guys, but in fact the bad guys are in your own house.
Yeah.
They're right in our own government.
Well,
and this we're finding out more and more, right?
That's this whole thing that you've been, I don't know, you guys probably been looking at that QAnon deal where all these leaks have been coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And so I honestly believe that behind the scenes within the government that there's actually a war going on right now as we speak between different factions of the government fighting for control. And so, you know, we're actually watching what was going on in that video series play out in reality.
In reality. And so here's the thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's it's a warning. This is a time to warn the people to be more vigilant than ever before, not just because of technology that is available, but because the way that things are actually playing out. If you sit there and watch that movie and you're not concerned after seeing that movie that there's some shenanigans going on, you know, like I said earlier, the reason why they'd put them out in a movie would be to get the average Joe to think, oh, you know, that's just make-believe, that's Hollywood, you know, they always do stuff like that, and, you know, they write stuff about conspiracies. Well, in reality, the conspiracies actually came first, and then somebody might have picked it up and put it out there. But nonetheless, it's ironic that you will see things in movies years prior to it actually playing out in real life.
Absolutely. So talking about the 4chan. 4chan and QAnon. So 4chan is, I guess it's like a closed, you know, connected board where they have these certain people on this 4chan. And apparently this QAnon started connecting with them. Here's just a general picture of it. So QAnon, nobody knows who QAnon is. But he's giving information out that actually happens, that actually comes true. And this is in relation to Trump. Okay, now Trump is playing a role. You know, Trump is I'm not a Trump person. Actually, all these people have been, are, you know, manipulators. They're just puppets for the one on the top of the pyramid, the one, the mystery, whatever.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, I mean, we have to look into that too, and I, you know, definitely we've been questioning that, Patty and I, okay, because we know there's this level, there's the next level, and the next level, and the highest up. So, QAnon's been throwing information out that is actually factual. It's quite stunning to see. About the sealed documents, right? He spoke about the sealed documents. Next thing we know, there's sealed documents. There's over 5,000 of these sealed documents, which basically are showing the corruption in our government. Trump spoke. This is quite amazing to me because when I watched Trump on his, on the roadway there when he was, talking to become president and everything, and some of the things he said were so revolting to all of us. Like he, in one of his, debates with Hillary Clinton, he was like stalking her. He was behind her, stalking her while she was talking. It was creepy because if you're a woman, you know what stalking feels like. And a lot of people picked this up. And then he said to her at one point in this debate, I don't know which one it was, he said to her, she said something, it's a good thing we don't have people like you in our government. I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not sure if that's exactly what it was. And he said, yeah, because you would be in jail.
Yeah.
Now, that was pretty shocking, I thought. Now, it's true.
Yeah.
So she's under sealed indictment, and she's wearing a boot. Now, that boot, she said she broke her toe, then she said she broke her ankle, but she's been wearing that boot for months for a broken toe or broken ankle. If you've ever had one, you know it doesn't take 5 months or whatever. I don't know, six. How long has it been now? And McCain, he's another one. He's wearing a boot. Then there's other people, senators and congressmen, in certain talks we've seen. They're wearing boots. So all of a sudden, all these people broke their toe. So we realize that, and now it's come out as true, because QAnon said it, that those are tracking devices, so they can't leave the country, so they know where they are. Okay, so everything QAnon has said is written on this link, this 4chan, is coming true. Now here's the piece that catches me. QAnon is telling these people on the 4chan, by the way, they are all revved up and feeling really important, because he chose them to be the messengers for the people here of the United States, to get the message out. So they're all puffed up. And he's telling them things that if they don't see this, they're all being duped. The government, they're taking the government down. They've got 5,000 or whatever sealed documents for arrest. There is a law, basically, that if you are a treasonist in this country, you don't need a trial. They're not going to put you in the Supreme Court and have you stand up there. They just take you away.
Yeah.
That's it.
Think about this. The setup down there at Guantanamo Bay, they were supposed to close that down. That place is still open.
It's still open. Okay, so now you have that part of it, and you have, suddenly, don't you notice that a lot of senators and so on and so forth said, well, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm retiring.
Yeah, they're all bailing out.
They're all bailing out because they've been given an ultimatum, because there's so many of them, Shaziz, that they can't, let's say the whole great percentage of senators and congressmen are suddenly arrested and put in jail. Our country's going to go nuts.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so,
see, here's what I'm thinking is going on, is that every time there's a new senator or new congressman that shows up in Washington, I think that they get a visit. And they get a visit from certain people.
Oh, right up to the president.
Yeah, and so...
Come into the back room. We're going to talk to you.
Yeah, when they get this visit... They're pretty much given an option. You know, you either, go with the flow and we don't care if you say controversial things and, put on like you're going to fight with each other and all that kind of stuff. But this is how things work around here. And when they don't function the way that we want them to, then you'll pay the price. And I think that they even put temptations down in front of them. And hope that they take the bait that way that they have evidence on them. Right,
they do
out of the
put
gate.
Temptations. There's that is also going on. They get these people, like at one of those islands where they have stuff going on there that would put chills on your body and your hair stand up on the back of your neck. And these people fall into that, and they got videos of them, so they're basically being, you know, what do you call it?
Basically blackmailed and documented.
They're blackmailed. So these people are being blackmailed, so if you don't follow what we say, you know. So now we have QAnon saying things like, okay, things that are going to be happening are going to be really difficult. It's going to be really hard. It's going to really, really be enormous, terrifying what's going to happen. I mean, these are things he's saying.
It's going to test this country beyond everything it's ever been tested with.
But he's also saying, don't be afraid. We're all together in this. We are the patriots. Trump needs you. Our government needs you. This is the one piece that really, again, blew my mind. He said, when the military is in the streets, don't fight them. They're there to protect you.
Well, there's supposedly this law that's actually on the books that at certain times that, like the Marines are directly connected to the president, and if a situation gets too out of hand, they answer directly to him, so he could actually declare, you know, martial law, and they're his, you know, basic last line of defense against a overthrow of the presiding government, so to speak.
Yes, I know that. What he's talking about are mercenaries. He's talking about, he's using this term, the military, you know. He's not saying the Marines.
Well,
all right, he's saying, basically what he's telling the people, what he's telling the people on QAnon is that there's going to be terrific, horrible things going on. And when you see the military in the streets, don't fight them. Tell all the people in the United States, don't fight them. They're there to protect you. Do as they say. And I've been saying for years, I felt this was going to happen. Something big is going to happen in this country. They need something big in order to put in martial law. And little spots of martial law have been popping up all over this country. You see, any little peaceful protest that happens, you have men there looking like they're, you know, like the invasion of the ETs are coming, and they're the way they're dressed, you know. So anyway, that used to be that way, but it's not because Q, everything Q is saying on the 4chan is coming true. We've already done that research, okay? So it was called the trolls or whatever, but now for some reason, again, as I'm saying, this situation, this 4chan has been picked to put out this information. And everything that QAnon writes on that 4chan has come true. I'm just saying, you know, it's all like, yeah, question everything. Question everything, question everything. That's what we have to do. But we've been looking at this for like months now, testing it, questioning it, saying, okay, because everything that QAnon has been writing and saying has fallen into place and is happening. So I can only tell you what we're looking at, you know, because I question everything. I'm questioning QAnon because of what the things that he's saying that people aren't getting.
Yeah.
You know, so here's my thing. I've said, you know, that something's going to happen in this country. We've been feeling it, but it has to be something big in order to get everybody in acquiesce to the government, right? Or they're going to be out in the streets in a revolution. They're going to be fighting. Here's the revolution, right? Or they're going to be fighting. But you're fighting a military. You're fighting this system that is so huge with your little gun, you know, or whatever. And they're setting up these FEMA camps. I sound like a crazy nut, don't I? I sound like a conspiracy wacko.
Well, it makes it hard because, like Stephen Gibbons posted in the chat room, he said, 4chan is the home of trolls. All the teens go there to pull each other to bits with memes.
They're the chosen ones, yeah.
Well, here's the thing, you know, I've been talking about this for a long time about how, you know, like the stories about oh, what's that dude's name? George Soros running around paying people to destabilize nations. Well, if you watch how that actually occurs, well, they basically send in agitators in under the guise of whatever political view that somebody else likes or religious view or whatever, and they will go in and they will literally start a fight. All right? And they're basically...
like Antifa.
Yeah, they're agitating both sides.
That's well, right.
In order for them to get control of the United States, because we have the Constitution and all these rights, supposedly, most important, though, would be the First and the Second Amendment, because, you know, if you can't talk against your government, then, you know, you really got issues. And if you can't defend yourself against a tyrannical government, then you really got issues. So there was it's either a Japanese dude or a Chinese dude, one of the military guys, said that the only reason why they never considered invading the United States is because behind every blade of grass would be a gun. Which is true. That's the way the American people are. You know, and so governments know that if they're going to come in and do something drastic, then they're going to have to, you know, basically pave the road with all kinds of different incidents or, you know, start to get public opinion towards, you know, we got to do something. We can't have all these school shootings. We can't have all these terrorists and potential deals. So, you know, we're going to have to do something for everybody's safety.
Well, they want your guns, people. Yeah. They want to take down the Constitution, your guns.
Did you see?
Because that's what they've done in other countries in the past.
Did you see anything in Jericho that would make you think that there was, like, gun control going on in that series?
Right. Well,
yeah.
Listen, I've seen that in reality, because in when their hurricane, I can't remember which one it was, recent in Texas.
Oh, that one too.
Well, there was a guy who was, you know, I guess you'd call him a prepper, you know. He's got a group of people. They're all involved together in prepping. They've got all kinds of weapons and blah, blah, blah. Well, they got on it and went out there to help the people.
Yep.
And he did videos of everything they were doing. And they found out stuff there that the government wasn't doing and was doing that was pretty shocking to them. And he videoed this whole series of what they were doing. And basically they had their supplies to help the people and for themselves all set up I don't know whether it was a school or some kind of a building. They had found a high ground.
I think it was a church.
And they had... Huh?
I think it was a church.
A church.
Yeah.
So they had... You saw that video.
Yeah.
I sent that to you, or you found it yourself, because
well,
I remember.
One of the guys they call Show Me Baby, he does videos. He's
That's
part of,
it.
Part of that.
Show Me Baby. Yeah. Well, okay. So they had these black ops guys, I don't know who came, and told them that they had to give everything to them. They have to give your weapons here. You have to give all your food and all your supplies. Now, they were helping the people.
Yep.
So there's stuff like that, yes. And Stephen says our country here is at war, and we're already under martial law. They haven't declared it yet, as with where he is too. And I said, I know that, and I have said that they are showing us that that martial law is present for a few years now. And I said, but they do need something really big in order to outright declare martial law that's going to sweep over everything.
Which blends into that technology that I was making fun of earlier, the God helmet, which, okay, this is really going to sound conspiratorial. You know, they're always talking about Project Bluebeam, where they could literally, like, project on the sky a vision of the Prophet Muhammad or God or Jesus or whatever, and people would think the Second Coming, or maybe even not
or alien invasion.
And so if you saw that in the sky and you didn't know any better or ever even heard of Project Bluebeam, you would automatically think, wow, this is like real happening. I'm seeing it with my own eyes, you know. And
well,
then,
they're projecting a hologram, what it's called.
Well, it gets better than that. With this new technology and all the cell towers and stuff like that, they could project the hologram and actually give you feelings of either fear or excitement, or, you know, you could actually feel the vibration of this ship coming in, and it seems
so
real.
You know, well, That's exactly where we're heading. That's what we're talking about. And I know this sounds
three-dimensional.
I never thought. I've known a lot of this stuff, but I don't talk about it. But I'm talking about it on your show.
Well, it has to be talked about because, you know, like I said, I always repeat this because Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance, which means you got to keep your eye out because, you know, if you don't pay attention, you're going to lose it flat out. And once the Constitution's gone and you ain't got no kind of even, you know, regardless of what people think of that paper, it's the only dividing line between us and a tyrannical system because that says that we have certain rights, you know, from our Creator, and this is how it's supposed to be, and this is what we agree upon.
Well, our own president, President John F. Kennedy, basically in his last speech, you should look it up, told us all about this. I think that's why he was taken out.
Yeah, I play that speech on here every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, so he knew, and he decided he's gonna, you know, clean the swamp, you know, that term, clean the swamp. Well,
yeah.
Trump is cleaning the swamp now, but not the swamp that we, you know, that we were thinking he was gonna clean out, because he's put all of his, mega minions in where he wants them, and we say, wait, I thought he was supposed to clean out the swamp. Well, guess what? He is cleaning out the swamp, but what's gonna be put in its place? See, this is where we have to go, because we're looking at the movie Jericho. We're looking at other things that are showing us what's going to be unfolding. So, yeah, Trump looks like a good guy to a lot of people. But Trump is just another puppet, and there's somebody pulling the strings, somebody really dark and evil about controlling the one. It's a one-world order situation, you know, is what we're looking at.
The story about the Antichrist is he comes on along the scene and he makes a peace with everybody and he says peace, but what they get is totally opposite. So, you know.
Well, this is where we have to pay attention. You know, all of the books, various informations, the ancient people left us all kinds of signs. You got to weed through the stuff and find the truth and the realities. You know, you have to question everything. You do. But all the signs are there. Even the sign of the on the rock in Hopi country, the prophecy rock there, talks about this, the two roads and where we're heading. You know, I talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, and the elders have all talked about this. They've had prophecies that have come true too. You know, and so we're in this position now where we're seeing all these things unfolding, and Trump is presenting himself to a lot of people as the good guy. He has said all the right words, because basically you have to know, you have to understand or understand the psychology of people in order to get in a position like he has.
Well, yeah.
So you tell the people, the angry people, the disenfranchised people, the poor people, the ones that are, you know, really struggling, you tell them exactly what they need, what they want to hear, and they're right there with you. And then you throw in hate, and then you throw in violence, and then you throw in prejudices, and then you throw in all that stuff, and now we have this situation in our country where people are fighting each other.
Yep.
And that's part of the plan.
Well, yeah, order out of chaos. It's even after...
My favorite word, chaos.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before. Prophecy given me many years ago by spirit told me chaos will rise. And you will see things that people will be doing that will stun you.
Oh, yeah.
That will
that's
shock
the truth.
You. And then the next thing I know is this prophet, this evangelical prophet, said he had a vision. God came to him and said to him that Trump's their man, that Trump's going to bring on the rapture. Well, let's hold on. Don't start talking about the rapture yet. Shiz is, but we're going to. So he said, God told him that Trump, now this was before he was actually elected, that Trump was God's chaos candidate. There's that word again. And I've noticed over these years, I've even talked about it, the insanity, the things that people are doing, and everything is stunning us, shocking us, right?
Yeah.
So I saw chaos rising. Next part of this segue in, Trump is God's chaos candidate. Next thing he gets in, within a week or a month, a big headline in the news, chaos in the White House.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I have to look at this stuff.
It just, everybody got to sit down, take a breath, take a drink of coffee or some tea or whatever it is you're drinking, and just kind of relax for a minute and absorb this. We just blew your mind, literally.
There's that word again, blew your mind.
Let me try to go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Come closer to the mic.
Okay.
There you go.
Here's what I consider. All right, I've watched Trump since he was running, and this country right now is so racially divided, it's pathetic. But one of the systems that I'm going with what Barbara was talking about just a little bit ago, and what I get from the religious or the Christian section here. And I'm saying here, only here in Kentucky, I can't speak for anybody else, okay, is that God has now put Jesus Christ in the White House, and he's going to make America white again, and all the people of color has got to go. And that's Christian people, man. What do you think this country was built on? Oh, murder and genocide, yeah. That's how America got started in itself. The Yahi Nation is not here anymore. Many nations, you want to talk biological warfare, there's smallpox, what do you think happened? Some people say Andrew Jackson is back in the White House, the devil is there.
But it's not him, though. He's just a puppet, right?
Here's the thing, it's just a puppet, but a lot of people are telling me he's the puppet that spit in this hate the loudest.
Well, I have to say, I get you what you're saying, and you have to go further than that. If he's a puppet, he's being told everything to do, to put everything into place. That's the big plan. So again, Obama, Bushes, all of them, they were the puppets. There is a planner, a controller, at the very top, and all these people are just being, just the puppets. Trump is not a nice person. He really is not. I mean, I think there's really, I think he's really a misogynist. I think he's just like a lot of these other people that we see now being exposed, all this sexual predatorship and all that. But he's being told how to get this country divided. Now, I want to say this whole prejudice thing, this whole hate color, this division has never left. It's always been present. It's just been sort of like hidden. It's never been any different. It's just that people aren't burning people at the stake or hanging people in trees.
Yeah.
But that energy has always been there, and he's now opened that door. But he didn't figure this out himself. This is what people have to know. As I'm saying, he's a puppet. He's told exactly how to manipulate the people. It's a psychological attack. This is what we're dealing with. So that's why we constantly say Trump is not to blame. He's playing a role. He's been told everything. He's not a nice person. Like I said, I think he's sick in a lot of ways. He's a businessman. He's a corporatist. He's a money grabber. He's a greedy person.
Well, there's something I want to throw in the mix here, is that one of the things that I wanted people to come away with when they saw the video series Jericho was, you're not just up against the government or the shadow governments or the global elitists during time like this total chaos going on. You're up against the average Joe. When society finally collapses into a civil war type situation, if you go back and you take a look at history and what took place during the Civil War, there were some terrible atrocities by both sides of the fence as far as the two different Civil War groups. One was the Union and the other one was the Confederacy. Yeah, and so on both sides of that fence, they did some really terrible things to each other. And even the average Joe would be probably the first one to turn you in because they were either sympathizers for one side or the other. But during this video series, Jericho, you've seen exactly that. You've seen gangs being formed, town against town, and
stuff. Neighbors.
Yeah, your neighbors. It's,
these are your neighbors, and here's the thing. So they're without supplies. Somebody has salt, a salt mine. Somebody else has a factory where they can manufacture windmills. Two different towns.
Yeah.
So instead of working together, well, they tried to do that, but you get one or two people in there who say, no, I want it all myself. I want all the salt. Our town needs all the salt. And no, our town needs this. So you've got that, and we want it all. We're not going to share. So that's where you have these people killing each other and their neighbors. They played football together, for cripe's sakes.
Yeah. It was really disturbing to watch that from start to finish, to see how, you know, people treated each other in those circumstances, and, you know, their penalty for if you got caught stealing food or whatever, you know. And, you know, I'm just thinking, if you watch, you know, history unfold, you know, through school books that you've read in the past, the stories that were told, and even going back to the founding of the country, you know, there's stories about them actually giving smallpox infected blankets to Native Americans, you know. And whether that happened or didn't happen, I don't know, because I wasn't there, but nonetheless, that's just a tiny example of how terrible people who, you know, want to be in control of the rest of the people, they don't care about life like we care about life. They don't care about each other. Then it wouldn't be no different than, you know, in these videos, if somebody didn't like the town next to them, they could go over and poison their water or do something terrible, kill off the whole town and walk in there without even a fight. This is the kind of evil thinking that is behind the scenes of all of this, everything that we're talking about. It's behind the scenes of your neighbor actually turning you in because they don't like something you said or something you did. Turning you into the same government that's oppressing them.
That's happened to me. That's actually happened to me.
Yeah.
The problem is, my brother was airborne division in the first Gulf War, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, part of my nation actually fought in that war. What he told me when he came back is that, and I had him on one of my shows, I interviewed him, and he actually thought that he was fighting for freedom and democracy. That's what he thought. He said that when he came back, he was so freaked out because actually what he was fighting for was the possession of the opium.
Yeah, there's actually stories about how there were soldiers over there that were really confused about why they're standing around in Afghanistan guarding opium fields when, you know, they should be over there finding the so-called enemy or whatever. You know, and even here in the United States, when you got conspiracies out there about how the DEA and, you know, the ATF are either running guns and drugs, you know, go back and look at some of the old gangster films about the mob and the mafia and all those different organizations. That's how it's playing out.
Exactly. My father's father. My father's father used to run moonshine for Al Capone. Just saying.
Well, you know, and that's it, dude, even in every culture, the Japanese culture have the Yakuza, you know, the Japanese mafia, and the Italians got the mafia, and all these different, you know, crime syndicates and organizations, and, you know, just like the conspiracies of the Masonic lodges, how they infiltrate governments, they get their people into seats of power. And so, if you think about this, and you're a real big crime boss, and you want to be able to get certain things legalized so that you can do whatever you want, or even keep them illegal so your prices stay higher, well, then you have people go in there and lobby to the Congress and the Senate to do your bidding, And, you know, what we were mentioning earlier about how when a new senator comes on the scene, or even a new president like John F. Kennedy, sees that things aren't the way they're supposed to be and speaks out against it in public, well, then suddenly you have, you know, another conspiracy born. Who shot JFK and such? So, this isn't something new.
I want to revisit this smallpox thing.
Yeah.
Okay, because listen... you're going to find debunkers on every situation, everything that one person says happened. If there's documents, it doesn't matter. There's going to be a debunker. All right? Yeah. I sent this link into the chat. There are many links on this. There are debunker links as well. But I have to say that even in Mein Kampf, Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, his book, his autobiography about his use of, various bio-warfare against people in his own country, because he got that from the United States government about what they did to the Indians. So in 1779, George Washington sent orders to General John Sullivan concerning the need to attack and destroy the Iroquois Nation. Now, the Iroquois Nation, these are the people who had the peacemaker come, and who also had their constitution, who also the United States government drew from the Iroquois Nation's constitution for our constitution. The immediate objects are total destruction of their settlements and capture of as many prisoners of every age and sex possible. Washington was also an advocate of germ warfare. We're talking 1779. First introduced by Sir Geoffrey Amherst, after whom the town of Amherst, Massachusetts, and Amherst College are named. The idea of germ warfare with smallpox was suggested to Colonel Henry Bouquet, after which Colonel Bouquet wrote back, and these are his words, "I will try to inoculate the Indians with some blankets that may fall into their hands and take care not to get the disease myself, as it is a pity to expose good men against this. I wish we could make use of the Spanish method to hunt them with English dogs, supported by rangers and some light horse, who would, I think, effectively extirpate or remove these vermin."
Wow. That's terrible, man. That is beyond terrible.
These are people in our government.
See?
Yep.
See...
And in the Seminole, the federal soldiers used germ warfare weapons, such as leaving smallpox-infected blankets for the Seminole to take and catch the disease. Do the research.
Yeah,
Let me add to that.
Go ahead, Charles.
A little bit, I need to add to what Stephen was talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think he's getting knocked off.
Oh. I can hear you, T-Dog.
I can't. Okay.
No, I can't hear him now either.
Yeah.
Doggone.
Okay, moving forward. He'll come back in.
All right. When he comes back in, we'll give him the floor. So, I'll tell you... all this stuff is just so incredibly overwhelming, and that's what I said years ago when I talked about.
You're kind of breaking up on me. No. I hope you hear this.
We couldn't hear you.
Yeah, go ahead, T-Dog. We hear you good.
Add a little. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, start talking.
can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. To add to what Stephen put in the chat, I wanted to add to what Stephen put in the chat about Ishi and the Yahi Nation. What went on there?
Well, okay, Ishi, I don't see Stephen's note about that.
Hunted the Yahi Nation like you would hunt a deer and completely... destroyed the whole nation. Ishi was Latin.
Ishii was the last of that nation. Yeah.
Wow.
He was taken and used like a species in the museum. He was kept in the museum alive, basically, by this one, I don't know who the heck he was. I can't remember. I think he was somebody involved with the museum. I mean, he took care of him. But basically, Ishii was used as a specimen. He was like on display. Like, he wasn't kept in a cage, but people came to see him like some kind of a display, and they did all kinds of tests on him and so on. And I think when he, maybe Tudor can verify this when he comes back on, but I think when he finally did die, they took his head, his brain, I don't know what they took, and it's somewhere in some kind of a jar or someplace. I don't know.
What happened with Ishii? He said that, Ishii said that if he dies, he wanted to go to the sky world with, everything of him, and to do no autopsy.
That's right.
And, they did an autopsy on him, and actually made a taste of him. And they disregarded what he said and done the autopsy anyway.
Wow.
I think they even took some of the, you know, I mean, like I said, put it in jars and whatever, you know, the famous Ishii, the last of the, you know, that kind
now,
of people.
Let me go a little bit further with the government thing. I'm going to go a little bit further and I'll let you guys have it, all right? It was stated by many of my old ones all the way to my. Now, I'm not saying that it's true. I'm not saying it all. But the word red skin, okay, it actually got started because from George Washington to Andrew Jackson, they said.
We lost him again. Yeah, seems like I lost both of you. Let me, if you can hear me, I'm gonna hang up this call and call you guys right back and reset the call. All right, you guys back?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, what I was gonna say that my ancestors have said all the way to my grandfather, so I'm gonna hold to that. But what has been said about this government also, from George Washington to Andrew Jackson, they actually stated that the word redskin came from when they would skin our people and said our people's skin was redder than others. From George Washington to Andrew Jackson, they used to skin us to make their pants with.
That's disgusting.
So I'm just saying, that's what I've been told in my time.
Bob, you still there? You got your mic muted?
I see her.
Yeah, I can see her in there, but I can't hear her.
Now, I'm just saying, that is what's been said.
Well, in this day and age, and from everything that I've learned, there is nothing that would surprise me. And that's why we bring this up to the forefront, is because you have to be aware of all this craziness. You got to be aware of it. You got to pay attention to what's going on around you. And with technology the way that it is today, it would be so easy to deceive people into believing all kinds of stuff. And you know, the thing about Jericho, when they turned around and they changed the books, they changed the history, they excluded things like what you were talking about. They wouldn't tell, you know, the truth about, you know, the past or what happened. And, you know, that even, far as I'm concerned, actually goes on to this very day. You know, the victor always writes the story, so to speak. The school books are always written by, you know, the people that basically, you know, are in charge. And
one of the reasons is, and I'm going to say this, one of the reasons of my education, and it's not very high, is that I would be in history class. I would exactly that. It's a lie, because if you look at the history class and look at like Custer and where he was standing there bravely shooting at the people with all his long blonde hair, okay, that didn't know. Because what I was actually told is that he cut his hair before the battle, number one. So that's a lie in itself. So a lot of this is, you know, a lot of this is just plain not untruth, because the victor writes the history book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a really disturbing concept, but it's actual reality. You know, this, like I said, a long time ago, I mentioned about going down the rabbit hole years ago, back during the time when they were doing the Clinton impeachment trial. I went so deep in the rabbit hole of the Matrix that, man, I'll tell you what, I seen things and read things that it disturbed me to my very core, that people, you know, whether something's true or not, when the story's told, and you have to sit here and contemplate on whether this is fact or fiction. The fact that somebody would even say that something happened or that it really seriously did occur, it's really disturbing, because I just can't in my mind visualize humans treating each other the way that they have treated each other throughout the history of time. And once again, with the modern technology capabilities and this God helmet experiment that they did, where they could turn around and make you see things or hear things, it's really worrisome. Because
here's the problem, Shaziz, also, okay?
Yeah?
As far as Indian people are concerned, we weren't even considered human until, I think the 20th century, you know? It actually states in the Constitution, and I did not know this till 1 February, as far as Black History Month is concerned, is that it says in the Constitution, that you can help me with this, because I know you're good with this Constitution. I'm not saying it's right or real or wrong or whatever. But it actually states that a black man is only three-quarter human.
Well, I have to go back and read all the fine print of it, but, you know, during the time when this thing was written up, there were a lot of things that, you know, I probably would not have agreed with. And I tell you what, if I would have been alive during the times when the slave trade was going on, I would have been on the side of humanity. I would have been part of the Underground Railroad, or part of the ones that were trying to protect the natives or whatever, because that's just the nature of my soul, you know. And even to this very day, you know, I don't think I have a racist bone in my body, because I don't see people like that. I see people by their actions, you know, kind of like what Martin Luther King talked about, you know, judging a man by his character and such.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, you know, Shaziz, that I kind of jump, you know, a little bit because of some of the racist crap I've heard in the government lately, is that I've been fighting racism since I hit the ground in many ways. So that, yeah, I try to keep myself level, but I've fought this all my life. So it always seems to be that, you know, you can't say that it's the United States when no one's united here. We're all fighting each other over silly stuff like color. It's incredible.
Well, I know from personal experience and life events that, you know, people can be really cruel to one another. And people that perceive that, you know, somebody's done them wrong, regardless of what color they're coming from, always have a tendency to look upon other people as if you're guilty until proven innocent. Well, because, you know, you look this particular way, that you're one of them. And we got as a society, we got to get past that. You know, there are good people in every single corner of the world, you know, and those are the people that got to stand up to make things right, you know.
Well, I'm going to see what Three Crow and you actually say about this, but I'm going to ride with you for a minute, okay? And what I'm stating it is just say what happened between this government and the Indian nations and everything else, say 240 years ago. Okay, 240, almost 600 years since the invasion of Turtle Island. Let me say this, you know, what they done, I wasn't there, you wasn't there. Why should I hate you for what they done? You didn't do it.
Well, I kind of understand. I'm right there on the same deal with you. You know, I don't want history to be hidden from people because people need to know the truth of what was going on. There were things that stories that I had heard all the way through my entire life. Like one of the things that I heard was that they used to have when the railroad was coming through. Apparently, they used to have these big hunts where they would shoot just herds of buffalo and just leave them laying right where they are. They just did it for fun.
Yeah, they took the tongue and that's about it. They left the whole everything just to rot.
Yeah, and I would have been so entirely disgusted by that deal. I probably would have broke the train to make sure that they couldn't go. You know,
one of the leaders of America, one of the presidents of America, I do believe it was President Grant. I do believe maybe a little bit before him. I'm going to say it like this. And he said the best way to defeat an enemy is to kill off the food source. And that was the buffalo and, let's say, the Tatanka and the Plains Indian, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you. Okay. The question... They didn't even bother taking the tongues, really. This was the buffaloes that were killed during the settlement of the western United States. The bison, okay, are some of the last remaining wild herds, by the way, and they're starting to take them out, too. So between 30 and 60 million American bison, known as the American buffalo, roaming in America plains in the mid-19th century. That's what we're talking about. There was like a handful of the true American buffalo left that actually had been up in Canada somewhere. I read the story, I don't know, have it right here, but it was just a small herd left of the original American buffalo, or bison, really, they're called bison, left. And some person who had the wherewithal and the heart, I'm going to say good heart, to realize that if those remaining little herd of American bison were not helped, that they would have been extinct. Because they really, 60 million, they really, really nearly brought them into extinction. How did the bison almost become extinct, right? They almost became extinct due to a large number of bison that were hunted for their tongues by settlers who typically wasted the rest of the animal. Find out how Native Americans, on the other hand, used every part of the bison with help. Okay, so they used every part of that bison, but there came the time when it wasn't just the settlers who took the tongues. Now you have just people going out just to slaughter the bison for kicks. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
to nearly bring them to extinction.
That's the story that I heard, and that's it. Oh man. If I would have been there, I maybe probably got myself shot, but I would have broke the train just so they couldn't go get them, you know?
But there was a reason for this. Even though it was just for kicks or fun or because they could do it and whatever, there was a plan. So the genocide of the people, the Indian people, was by another means. The U.S. Army slaughtered buffalo in Plains Indian Wars, basically, to kill the Indian. Because the buffalo, the bison, was the life. Not only was it a spirit, sacred spiritual part of their life, but the buffalo, every part of that buffalo, they was for food, for utensils, for shelter. Every part of that, shields, weapons, all parts were used, even the sinew. And they figured if they can take out this buffalo, the government, this is genocide, right?
Yeah.
Take out all what the people ate, what supported them, what sheltered them, then that would be the end of the Indian.
That's a shame.
But this is our government. This is what I'm saying, you know. Everybody thinks, oh, America, make America great again. I have always saying America was not so great for a lot of people.
Well, and therein is the whole deal. You know, the good people of the world that see the visual of, you know, America as they've been taught and all that kind of stuff need to also be able to be reminded of how many people from all different directions had suffered just to get you to this point where you're at right now. The terrible things that were done in the past, they need to not be forgotten so that they're never repeated. And
yes,
all these things that we talk about with technologies and you know, capabilities that governments or secret factions of governments or corporate elites or whatever, you know, call them conspiracy theories if you want, but the science is there, and if these things are possible and they're in the wrong hands, you need to be aware. Everybody needs to be aware. And once again, it's not about trying to make you afraid, you know, that everything you see, there's a terrorist behind
right.
every bush, but common sense, folks, history will repeat itself if allowed to do so.
It always does. Yeah. So the other part I'm thinking of, you know, there were a lot of good people. I want to go back further to the people, our brothers and sisters from the European continents. My teacher, Wallace Black Elk, always said, we are earth people, people of the earth. He didn't say we're black, we're red, we're whatever, or we're this. It was, we are all earth people. And in Europe, the people there, your relatives, some of my relatives, they were earth people, they were tribal. And they were tribal because they needed each other. So there was no industry, no technology, nothing. They were just simple people living on the earth together in communities, in tribes, little tribes, right? They had their awareness and their connectedness to the earth. They had to. They had to be aware of the signs, you know, of the changes in the earth, when to plant, when to do this, when to harvest. And we know that those are certain ceremonial aspects of, that go way back into all of our cultures. So our people, the white nation, the red nation, the black nation, and the yellow nation, and now we have a brown nation, were all tribal people. They were connected to the earth. They supported each other. They helped each other in order to survive. So there, you know, these people that came from Europe who came here to conquer this Turtle Island, you know, they were, had lost their roots. They had lost their connectedness to the earth. They had lost all that. And I feel this is a deliberate, and I'm going to keep saying it, it was a deliberate, because we're talking about a controlling agenda that goes so far back that it'll just blow your mind. So we have these people coming from European countries that lost everything. You know, we have the immigrants coming here, we have the settlers coming here, we have the all people under freedom of a religion, to be able to have their own home, their own properties, and they came here and they found paradise, you know. And I will say it was paradise because, yeah, there were skirmishes between tribes, but there was no thought of genocide amongst the people here. The Indian people never thought, we have to commit genocide here or take this whole group out. They fought over, you stole my ponies, or I'm going to get my ponies back, or small little skirmishes, they call it. And the one most important thing, a part of this, these little, you could call them little skirmishes, they weren't outright wars. They only had bows and arrows, hatchets or whatever, tomahawks. They didn't have Gatling guns, they didn't have bombs, they didn't have all this stuff. So, you know, between communities and whatever, you had these occasional skirmishes, but you also had the matrilineal clan mother system here, and they decided whether to go to war or not. You know, they chose the chiefs and so on and so forth, and the men and women lived in harmony together, side by side, respected each other. You know, so you have this whole faction of people coming here who were, you know, traveling months on these ships, sick, a lot of them were sick. When they came here, the Indian people helped them. They helped these people to survive. What would it have been like if they said, wait a second, there's some immigrants coming here, we need to turn them away.
Yeah.
Or we need to build a wall. Or let's kill them all as they step on our ground. But they didn't, did they?
No.
So they welcomed them, they helped them, they taught them certain things, you know. So the people who came here were good people, all right? I'm not saying they were all bad. They were good people, too. But now you have a government, a military and a government, you know, who needs land, who needs, you know, minerals, who needs the gold, or whatever it is, they need it. And if you're in the way, they're going to set it up so you're the bad guys, and you just basically, well, you're the vermin, and you're devil worshippers because you are not a Christian. And that was written, and that's true. We know that. But we were spiritual people. We were people who believed in a great spirit, a creator, Wankhantanka, or many, many names for that creator God, okay, and honored the various elements that were, that nurtured the people. They never clear-cutted forests, okay? The majority of trees needed were taken, were used, what was down already, okay? If above, hey, if they were living in the valley, and this is a true story, they were living in the valley, they had their camp set up for long years, and suddenly the water course from that, that came through the valley that they used started to dwindle. So they sent out scouts, you know, to find out what was going on. They went way up in the mountains, and the scouts came back to the elders, and they said, well, there's some of the you know, beaver people up there. They set up a dam for their, to create their home and their wetland and their, the you know, what they do, what the beavers do. And so the people said, okay, we have to move. Let's go find another place that's suitable for us. They didn't go up there and blow up that dam and kill those beavers.
Wow.
They didn't. This is the way the people lived. They respected and knew everything had a spirit. They lived according to Creator's Law of One, it's called.
Yeah.
And this Creator's Law of One was once throughout the whole world, because these are our original instructions that every culture, the black, red, yellow, and white people had known. They got it. That was their instructions, how to live on this land, how to live in the earth together, and respect this sacred gift of the earth, the tree people, the waters, everything. So today, you know, it's way different as we see. And who is taking everything from the earth? Who is doing that? Who is running the people's minds and the people's lives? And who is it? What is it?
Well,
you know,
in my book it talks about you know, an evil force, and you know, I just, there's no way I can look at the happenings or the goings on, or however you want to say it, of modern day society without believing that behind the scenes is this evil darkness, you know, some might call them the devil or whatever, you know. And, you know, it has to be something like that, because some of the things that I've seen in my life, they're so terrible I can't even speak about them, you know. And you can't never get that image out of your head once you've seen certain things. It just doesn't go away. It follows you through the night when you're trying to sleep, and it's
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
You know, just to be honest with you and to be honest with the listeners and the people on here, I live every night. Every night
Well, I'm going to take a little conspiracy theory further, and people will say, oh, that's not true. I mean, these are the things that... can you hear me, Shaziz?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
So these are the things that I've come to realize in all these many years of study, of listening, of feeling, of receiving information and guidance, is there's something called the sacred hoop, the great sacred hoop and the great tree of life. And the people, this comes from our tradition, okay, the sacred hoop is all about frequency and energy and awareness and connectedness and the Creator's Law of One. Creator's Law of One, there's a basis for it, meaning the Law of One, and we say we are all one. Like Mitakuyeo Yasin means we are all related. But it doesn't mean just us people. It means we are all related to everything. and that there is a spirit in everything. There's the tree spirit. I saw the tree spirits. There's the stone spirits. I saw the stone spirits in my lifetime, and so on and so forth. Now, you have the sacred hoop, okay? The sacred hoop is the concept of an energetic connectedness of everything as being one. So you look at a hoop, all right? It's a whole, it's a circle. Everything is a circle, is created as that circular energy, that frequency. All of life consists of that. So now you have this sacred hoop throughout the whole of the world, before technology came in, before organized religion came in, before, you know, the controllers and so on. The sacred hoop was steady, strong, flowing beautifully and connected, keeping all things in harmony and balance as one relationship. So you have over there in, let's say, a different country in Europe, part of that sacred hoop was assaulted through assaulting the people and the way of the people and their connectedness to the Mother Earth, and technology slips in and starts functioning. That part of the hoop is torn. Now you have another thing going on in a different part of the world. Same thing. So that part of the hoop is torn. That connectedness, that oneness, that relationship with the people, with the earth, and together as one people. The last of the hoop was broken when the conquerors came here to Turtle Island, and we call this the Massacre at Wounded Knee in 1890, was when the sacred hoop was completely done. We're talking about relationship, consciousness, awareness, and togetherness, okay? So when you are, let's say, we know the power of prayer, right? I mean, yeah. I know the power of prayer, yeah. So do you, right? So when you have people consciously aware of that, power of the prayer, power of relationship, power of harmony and balance, and goodness, and in service and helping each other as community, as tribal consciousness, I call it. When you have that, that is a high frequency. That is a wave of connectedness, let's say, energetically. So now you have all the hoop is threaded. The hoop is like torn apart due to certain things that started to happen to different cultures, you know, black nation, white nation, yellow nation, and then the last was the here, you know, the white nation, black, red, yellow, and white. All of these people, all of our peoples from all over the world were affected by this. The ceremonies were denied here. They were denied in Europe. They were taken down. You have the goddess cultures, the druid cultures. You have these ancient earth cultures that were all destroyed. So that's how the hoop started to get shredded. And the last thing, like I said, here on Turtle Island, where we're all living here in the United States of America, okay, was Turtle Island. So no longer could the people pray to hold all things together, harmony and balance. No longer could the people come to sacred sites that were part of that hoop, part of the grid, or the people call them ley lines, energy lines, which connected the whole of this world. So you have, the reason for sacred sites is to create energy and frequency and activate that through ceremony, offerings, we call it, prayers, and so on. So these are powerful energies. So if you imagine a sacred hoop throughout the whole of the world connected through ancient people's knowledge and wisdom of the frequencies and energies of things and how to harmonize them and balance them, this was slowly, slowly shredded. And when 1890, the Massacre at Wounded Knee, pretty much all of the Indian people here on Turtle Island were already wiped out or already now at the fort. Their ways were done. They were, you know, being baptized, or they lost their sacreds. Their sacreds were taken away. No longer could you Sundance. No longer could you go into the Inipi, the sweat lodge. You couldn't do those things. So the way of the people throughout the whole of the world, our relatives, was slowly being shattered. So that the hoop was broken here in Turtle Island, finally the end of a way of we are all one people, we are all connected, we all live in paradise, this earth, and we are in relationship, the Creator's law of one. That was done, finished, but there was a little root. And Black Elk himself said that day, because he was in his 20s when the wounded knee happened, and they all went there to find people slaughtered, find babies, women, children, old people slaughtered. A few survived. Today they tell their story. But he went, and he said the sacred hoop is broken. But he believed that there was a root, a tiny root that remained, and he said, he prophesied, someday the sacred tree of life will bloom again. And this is where we are today. And this is prophecy about, for instance, the Rainbow Warriors, all people coming together. Stand up together, right?
That resonates with me because that's basically what we're here talking about. We're trying to sort things out, you know.
But it's up to the people.
Yeah.
We can't rely on the government. The government has their agenda. They have this corruption corporation ideology. It's all up to the people, up to our relatives, our neighbors, the people across the world. Black, red, yellow, and white.
The scariest thing to me about society today is not being able to distinguish between truth and fiction. You know, with the technology the way that it is and the way that the media can manipulate the truth for agenda purposes or whatever, all these things that we've talked about throughout history, it depends on who you ask which side of the story you're going to get. But nonetheless, I still think that if there was something bad in history, it should have been immortalized in the book so that the atrocities wouldn't happen again. I still believe.
My teacher said, wouldn't it have been an amazing thing and quite different? Our history would have been quite different if when those people came from Europe and came here on Turtle Island, that we all sat down together around a sacred fire and became friends and learned from each other.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
That's how it should have been.
That's what we're talking about now. That's basically what we're doing right here on the round table.
That's right.
You know, we got two separate...
But we've been led down a different roadway, and now we're waking up, and now we're realizing that something very wrong happened, and it really never should have happened. It didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
Because everybody, I don't care who you are, if you sat down with a whole bunch of different people from different parts of the world and you said, what is it that you really want? What is it that you dream of? What is it that you want? And I think every one of them would said, I want my children and my grandchildren to be in a safe world. I want peace. I want good food. I want clean water.
I found out something when I went. I actually wrote about it in that story about the turtle, about Mark Goliath. But I found out something that I probably should have done a long time ago, but it, you know, just really, it's hard to find the right words to say, but I found out that you have to learn to listen. You know, you can be an awesome speaker, but if you don't have that skill about listening to other people, you're going to miss out on so much in life. And if you actually pay attention and you listen, this world's talking to you. The people around there, they have stories to share with you. There are stories from the past, and you know what you said about sitting down at the campfire and becoming friends and learning from each other. This is what I believe in. This is what I believe that the world needs to do, is to bring the cultures together, like the vision that Two Dog had, and bring those flags together. I will be thinking this is the most glorious day in history of time when I see all those flags flying under Two Dog's Tree of Peace, and we all have the opportunity to sit down with one another and talk about things in life, you know, with an understanding like we've done with each other right here. You see what I'm saying?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yep. Well, one of the things I would like to state is what Three Crow just said about what, you know, how it would be so good if the nations and the Europeans that came here would just sit around the Great Circle Fire. Here on my homeland and where my tribal office is, we actually did that with England. I actually had people from England, and they sat with their flags were flying with ours, of course. And they actually said, sit in my circle fire. We had a great 3 days. So, you know, it can happen.
Well, I want to see it happen on a larger scale. You know, I keep talking about trying to gather all the brilliant minds and wonderful hearts from all over the world and bringing them together. You know, this is just a platform here, you know, a tool give everybody an opportunity to speak with each other like we do. That's why the Knights of the Round Table is so important to me.
But if you notice, Sajiz, with what I'm honestly trying to do, I'm trying to bring that vision to fluctuation. In other words, I'm trying to bring it to come to pass. And it's working right now, so...
Well, I think we're on the same journey, brother. I honestly believe we're all on the same journey. I think we're with our own skills or our own gifts or blessings or whatever, bringing this together in the ways that we do. Sometimes this show's funny, and sometimes it's scary, and sometimes it's heartbreaking, and so on, you know. But all of these things that we speak, you know, truth from our heart and sharing information with one another, this is how things get done. Incrementally, little bit by little bit, you're gathering flags. I think last I heard you said you was up to about 65 or something like that?
Yes, I got 65 right now. Actually, a couple weeks ago, the flag of South Africa actually came. So, yeah,
I want to say that what Two Dog is doing, he's showing it's the possibility, and it can be. But the one thing I want to make a note of is that the people are coming, not the government.
Yeah, that's it.
The people are coming to sit with Two Dog around the sacred fire.
Yeah, it's not the government.
It's not the government. So you see, this is, and it will never be the government.
That's why I say
it's up to the people.
Those three words on the top of the Constitution, we the people, that's what I believed it was all supposed to be about. It wasn't we the government or we the corporations. It was we the people. It's us, the average Joe. You know, the last line of defense, that kind of thing.
Let's look at this in a way, let's look at it this way, okay? I have been here now, thanks to you, the flag of Missouri, right?
Yep.
So if you come to set with me, and you live in Missouri, and the Missouri flag is flying with the Western Lenape, I'm just saying that you're from Missouri, and I consider you a diplomat, and it will be diplomatic between both of us. In other words, we sit down and we talk about whatever you wish to, and you know, we are the human being here, and we're not that different human wise, because we all love our wives, our kids, our children, our husbands. We all sit and eat with each other. We all laugh and cut up with each other. We're not different at all.
Well, I'm looking forward to the day that you and I get to stand there together. I'm looking forward to that day. That'll be an awesome day. And if we can bring other people together at the same time, the more the merrier.
I will take you to that tree of peace, and we'll take a picture together, right, standing right next to it.
Hey, you know, you can get just going to talk about Jericho again. Don't you? What do you find about that? Don't tread on me. That, right, is in that movie?
Yeah, it was in there.
There's a flag that I see, you know, riding, you know, people actually fly these flags in the back of their truck all over town.
And yeah, well, this represented something very unique in the movie. What did you think, Shaziz?
Well, I Texas has always been a wild card, and you know, they're really into their guns, and they're really into, they actually talked about seceding from the Union at one point because they didn't really like the way things were going around. And so I don't know what all the internal politics of it like that, but basically that was their kind of method of saying to everybody out there, as far as government or other country or other states or whatever, that not to don't mess with Texas, so to speak.
Well, okay, so here's what does it really mean. It's the symbolism in the flag partnered by the image holds deep meaning. Basically, the don't tread on me phrase combined with the snake ready to strike is a warning.
Yeah.
This tells people not to step on or take advantage of the Americans,
yeah,
or they will strike, okay? And the use of the snake, or more specifically the rattlesnake, did not happen by chance. The fact is that the eastern diamondback rattlesnake and the timber rattlesnake were both fairly abundant within the colonies. So in a Benjamin Franklin suggested that the American send rattlesnakes to Britain as a response to their sending the convicted criminals to their colonies.
Holy smokes. Wouldn't want to get that package.
Talk about bio-warfare.
Yeah. You know, it just amazes me. And this whole entire scenario just amazes me. You know, I started off and I tried to make a light of a situation with the God helmet. And these shows always seem to take a life of their own. You start off with something that really isn't that funny at all. Because your perception of reality and the alternative of what's not real being projected in your mind and history, you know, mind control isn't just with electronics. It's not just with pictures. It's also in the text. It's in the books. It's manipulating the truth to the extent to further whatever agenda. You know, it's playing on the heartstrings. See, the evil of this world, they know there's good people in this world. They know that there's people that'll stand up against this kind of tyranny or machine like that. And so that is a card that they play all the time. And they play this card not against just one person, they play it against everybody. They play the color card, you know, when they want to start a race fight between two separate people that otherwise probably would have been friends and having a picnic, you know, gathering their families together and stuff like that, you know. But they play these cards, they manipulate the people using fear, using, emotions. You know, for example, you know, I keep talking about it, I don't understand this, and I'll never understand this. When I was a child, I used to see pictures of starving babies on commercials all the time. And they talk about sending your money, and, you know, I feel bad personally because, you know, as a child, I didn't really have any money. You know, if I had money and, you know, I come by and there was somebody like out there during the Christmas time when they have the bell ringers out there and I got a little bit of money in my pocket, I'll put it in the bucket. Or if I see a homeless person, I'll do that. But as far as being able to reach across this globe and, help that starving baby, I would have gave them my dinner, you know. That's because that's the kind of heart that I got. But it's not just me, it's everybody. But what I don't understand is, I'm 52 years old. I may not be as old as a lot of people, but I'm 52 years old, and it doesn't take no 40, 50 years to solve a problem such as giving somebody food. And with the technology that we have access to right now, I can't understand why it is that I still see these commercials. I can't understand why it is that I hear people.
Well, a lot of that, I found out, unfortunately, that a lot of that money that you give to certain organizations doesn't even get to the people. But listen, I'm just going to stick with this for a moment here, and then I'm done on it. Don't tread on me. Why is this important, and why was it important in the movie, in that series, Jericho? Because it came at towards the end. So here's what it says here. Don't Tread on Me is a very important representation of American history. Nowadays, the United States is proud about its freedom. Okay, now listen, remember that, those words. Sometimes even stating that it is the freest country in the world. Remember that sentence. This is called the Gadsden flag. However, represents the time when America is in the process of fighting for its freedom. So it's a symbol of a country's strength and willpower, leading it to become a world leader it is today. Now, go back to the United States is proud about its freedom, and that it also states that it is the freest country in the world. And today I'm going to say that that isn't true. I don't believe it was ever true. But why did the flag, this original Don't Tread on Me flag come up? I'm going to go with because it was about America in the process of fighting for its freedom, and that's what was going on in Jericho.
Yeah, it was about just a
against the corrupt government.
Yeah, a semblance of hope and to, you know, put a message out there as a warning, you know, that we're not going to take it. The tyranny, we're just not going to take it. You know, it's terrible because I got mixed feelings about my own nation. I mean, I love this country, don't get me wrong. It's not that, you know, it's the people of the country that I love. It's the concept of freedom. It's the concept of peace and taking care of each other. It's the concept of strength together. But I'll be the first one to step up to the plate and speak out against things that when those scales of justice are off balance and something isn't right, would I have ever agreed to sending blankets infected with smallpox to any nation? No. Oh, boy, I tell you what. Even when I watch some of the old... There's an old movie called Roots, and I watched that, and I seen how people were treated in this movie, and it just tore me up inside. You know, I'm not saying I'm the nicest guy on the planet, but I got a heart. It's just so huge. It basically controls my life, and so I could pretty much be easily manipulated. If somebody tells me somebody's in trouble, I will do whatever I can to make things right. You know, I try to keep my friendships together, you know, and even when I'm, you know, not necessarily thinking I'm wrong, I'm still trying to rectify the situation and save my friendship. But
well, now we know that about you, and that's why we love you. I want to say about the flags, because Two Dogs said there's a lot of people carrying that flag. Again, we have the Confederate flag, and we have the information.
Yeah.
People are standing by these flags thinking one thing, and they've been duped. They've been lied to. And they believe in those flags, but for the wrong reasons, you know? But they believe that Don't Tread on Me is because America is great, and so on and so forth, and the Confederate flag because there was the war and this whatevers, and I mean, it's all been manipulated. So that's why I brought up that about the flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, and why I separated those pieces about it, because the message in Jericho, as Shaziz and I started the show with talking about the hidden messages in certain movies and series on TV, how they're laying out everything for us, you know. And in that movie Jericho, those people in that little town, Jericho, we're fighting, again, back to fighting for the freedoms of this country together as a people in the town and other people too, in unity against the corrupt government.
Yep.
And this is where we are today. It's not about we were the greatest country, because I'm sorry to tell you, for some, it was not the greatest country. This country was founded on genocide, manifest destiny, and slavery, and corporate ideology, period. That's what the United States was founded on. And a lot of the wars, if you do the research, you will see a lot of the manipulation going through in back in our history, and way back further before Turtle Island, has been a systematic manipulation of the people.
Well, and that's why whenever I look at these flags, I look at it the same way that Two Dog looks at them, as these, you know, these are just pieces of cloth, but the idea behind them of uniting the people behind that piece of cloth, that is what I'm looking at it like. You know, as the American flag, when I see the American flag and I know that the history of how many people had given their lives under the belief that they were fighting for freedom, it was the fact that they believed that they were fighting for freedom and justice that holds me to the fact that I still want to honor that flag, not because it's something to praise, if you understand what I'm saying, but because of the sacrifice that people made just so that we could actually have this conversation right now without some tyrannical king coming down on us and, you know, off with his head kind of thing. But those folks, those were good people that were drug into a situation by their leadership that said we had to go over and we had to fight these bad guys or whatever. But once again, even in that series Jericho, there was a message that really needs to resonate with the people, that these people, good people, follow bad orders all the time. They've That's done right. this throughout the history of time. They've done things that are terrible atrocities because they were ordered to do so. And there has to come a time whenever you listen to an order that is given to you, and that paper is supposed to say you're not supposed to follow any unlawful order or any order that goes against, you know, the rules that were set down in the Constitution. And so, with that said, there are good people that are following bad orders. They're imprisoning people, they're bombing people, they're going to war with other nations and violating everything that, to me, that flag was supposed to represent. The justice and the freedom. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and I'm listening to you, and I'm totally agreeing with you, because I started out, I said there are lots of good people that came here.
I agree with you.
There's lots of good people that came here from Europe, and they were under a government that told them that you have to slaughter these heathens. You have to kill these heathens, and they sent our people to Vietnam and said the same thing. These were gooks or whatever the heck you call it. They were, these young men and women are trained not to see these people as a human being, but as something other.
Yeah.
And so, and you're absolutely right. Absolutely. So it's not the flag, you know, it's not this or that, but it is, there are good people. So when you say, well, my relative was, you know, General Custer, you know, he was my great, great, great whatever, or one of my relatives was, you know, in the army, and he was involved in slaughtering blah, 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 or just the people, the settlers, you know. These people are coming here, they're desperate too, and they were told by the government, take, everything is free here, take it. And if somebody's in your way, if it happens to be a person of color, well, take them out too.
Well,
because you have the right.
If Jesus Christ was nothing more than a messenger, and, you know, if he wasn't the Son of God, if he was nothing more than a messenger just to come down from the Great Spirit or whatever, and, you know, give us a message, a warning, and some advice or whatever, there were a lot of people that didn't get the message. A lot of people that went under the Christian name that didn't get the message. See, Jesus Christ didn't come down here to start a religion. He wasn't a Christian. He was the Christ. That's what I understand. All right? And so, when I call myself a Christian, I always kind of feel like I got to defend my faith, because, you know, there are things that were done under the Christian name, under the organized religion, that I would not have taken part in. I would not have agreed to, you know. There's things like, you know, witch burnings and crusades that we hear about in history of time. You know, whether fact or fiction, nonetheless, it doesn't matter to me. The words that came out of the man that they called Jesus Christ were words that resonate with me, because of the fact that he said, do unto others the way you want to be done, and treat, you know, your family and your mom and your dad right, and do all these good things. That's what he talked about, all right? And he didn't talk about going out there persecuting, you know, natives and forcing them to, you know, become Christians or anything like that, and taking away their culture. I think Jesus would have sat down with the natives just like anybody else, and he would have had the same conversation with them, you know, treat each other right.
He did, as the peacemaker.
He did
as the peacemaker. Jesus walked the Americas. Look it up. But he came as the peacemaker.
Yes,
just like he
did.
He came. So I'm going to say, because I believe in a great spirit, a creator, or an omniscient being who has sent the messengers here. All the messengers. Don't kill the messenger. So the white buffalo calf woman, Pascaween, she was the last messenger. As far as I know, since then, there's been no holy person that's come down to earth or appeared here in our world anywhere who's brought that same message that Yeshua, Jesus, brought. But you have the Peacemaker, you have Khan Kulkan, the Feathered Serpent, you have Viracocha, who came in Peru, you have Buddha, you have all these so-called, these are same kind of message, same exact message that the Yeshua brought in that century, in that timeline. So the Peacemaker came here to Turtle Island. He brought the same message, but he was called the Peacemaker. And he was very similar in dress and his figure as described by all the different nations, identical to Jesus.
Well,
this is what I'm talking about. So he did.
So I'm really not far off base with the way that you think, and I think that's one of the reasons why we can have these conversations the way we do, because, you know, I'm a true believer in the heart. I can't stress that anymore. You know, I'm also a true believer in the conscious mind of being able to discern between what is actually right and wrong, no matter where you lie in your background or your history or the people that came before you. Everyone in this world has a choice to do whatever it is that they know is right or to do whatever they know is wrong. They have a choice. And so with that said, we're looking for the people that want to make that right choice. You know, that right choice to feed the starving people and to shelter the homeless and to stop the ridiculousness of the wars. We talk all the time about the alternative energy subject that, you know, people's out there doing a battle over war. I mean, they don't call it the petrol dollar for nothing. I mean, why would they call it the petrol dollar? It used to be backed by gold, is what they said, you know, a precious metal, supposedly. But nonetheless, now it's called the petrol dollar.
Let's look at this, man. Let's look at this in a deep thing, okay? Everything, you know, as far as say, the flags that I'm doing and what I'm doing, okay? It's not the flag, it's the intent behind it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You see what I'm
saying? Exactly.
But it's the intent of what you're doing behind the flag. That's the intent. Right?
Because I know how many bodies have fell because of that flag, you know, and under the guise of freedom and whatever they want to call democracy, even though we're not a democracy. Nonetheless, it was put out there as a symbol of freedom. And those of us who are, you know, patriots or, ex-military, veterans, foreign wars and veterans of, all kinds of stuff, we didn't go into this to try to harm people. You know, and if you did go into it to try to harm people, you were under the wrong impression of what the what we were told that is supposed to be the reason why we go to war or whether we serve our country or one another, whatever. Those folks, like my grandfather, when I was a child, I was standing there. He was in some shorts and I looked at his feet, and he had scars from the bottom of his heels all the way up the back of his legs, all the way up the back, and all the way up the back of his neck. He didn't have a shirt on, and so I could see these terrible-looking scars from his feet all the way up the back of his neck. And I asked him about it, because of what he had seen, that, and I'm in my age, he wasn't going to tell me what happened. I didn't find out till later on that he watched as two of his best friends got killed right beside him, and he was quite literally blown out of a foxhole with a mortar shell. And he suffered those scars, but somehow or another, he lived through that deal. And he came home to raise a large family, and I mean a very large family, during some really hard times when finances weren't, it was almost like living through the Depression, but it wasn't. It was more in the late 50s and 60s and stuff like that, where, you still had poor people that were literally struggling to survive financially. But somehow through that whole deal, him and my grandmother, who was full-blooded Cherokee, she and he basically raised our family to love one another and to always take care of each other, and to be thankful for all the blessings of anything, every meal. We didn't waste food back in them days. We were respectful of anything that was given to us, anything we appreciated. And I've watched as society has changed through this whole time. But always looking back from as the age that I am now, and my father's sacrifice for what he believed that he was doing right for the country, and that would have been during World War II when Germany was doing what they were doing over there, and the Holocaust and all that, that Grandpa had heard that this was going on, and we had to protect ourselves, and then we had the conflict with Japan and so on, and this big war broke out. Well, my father, as an American citizen, stepped forward. My grandfather, as an American citizen, stepped forward, and he basically went into battle and put his life on the line. And so as I was being raised up as a patriot, because I believed in the same dream that my grandfather believed, that we was fighting against a darkness or an evil, that we had to stop this so that everybody could have the opportunity to, you know, come to America or go to Germany or any other country and be able to live in peace, and everybody would have their needs taken care of. This is what he believed in. This is the heart and the mindset that my grandmother and he bestowed upon me. So when I see that flag, I see my grandfather. I don't see all the atrocities, even though I know all the history of what's gone on in this, and I would never have agreed to building a nation under those false pretenses. But the dream of now that we're here where we're at, now that we know the history, we know what all went on in the deal, we have a choice now. We have a choice to do like what Two Dog is doing, and bring these nations together, and bring all these states and all these people from different views in to stand at that tree of peace. That, you know, it's a miracle that the tree's even there at this point in the game. It's a miracle that that tree is standing there, and that we're actually on the radio talking about it right now. That is the dream that my grandfather fought for. That's the dream that Two Dog's grandfather fought for, and Barbara's grandfather fought for, and so on down the line. They weren't fighting because they wanted to be fighting. They were fighting for peace. They were fighting for freedom. They were fighting for their family. That is the only time that I could even think about fighting anybody in this world, because, you know, I don't like the violence. I don't like the death and the destruction that we have to witness. We hear about it on the news. We hear it about...
Let me add to it, yeah, you know, ahead. To what you're saying. Let me add what you're saying just a bit. I don't like the history, to be honest, of how this country was built. But the situation is now. We got to start looking at now and the future of our children. That's another point. With my spirituality, I don't look at myself, but I look at six generations from me. Okay? I look at what my daughter, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, I want something better for them than me. Okay?
Yep.
And to be honest, I'm gonna say this. When I saw that vision, and I thought to myself, I questioned myself for a second, because I've actually been at war in my own country since I hit the ground.
Yep.
And now you want me to walk in this peace way. What I've learned is not to question the Creator, just do.
Yeah. I want to
okay.
make a... Oh, go ahead.
Good. What I'm trying to do, I'm actually thinking of taking all the flags, going to the peace, the Tree of Peace, and calling the media in and let them put it across the world if possible.
Well, let me get those 50 flags to you. Let me get those 50 flags to you somehow. Some way I want to get those to you so you got all the states represented.
I want to let the world know that what I've actually done as far as setting with Mexico and England and Wiltshire and the Eastern Band and the Appeal to Heaven is that is that this is possible. I've already proved it's possible, but it's people, not, it's people that are coming to me and sitting with me from there. It's not governments, dude.
Well, let me make a point here. Something that I find important is that, you know, there's a part in my belief system that says that we're not supposed to make false idols or graven sculptures or anything like that. But the cross that has to do with the Christian, belief system, Christians don't worship the cross. Just like Jewish people don't worship the Star of David. Just like the American people, really shouldn't be worshiping the American flag. And to me, the symbol of the cross represents a remembrance, and that's the key word right there, a remembrance of a sacrifice made. And if all these flags from all these different nations and all their different trials and tribulations are used as a remembrance, so we can kick pride aside. We don't need the pride portion of it. But we do need to remember what happened. All these sacrifices for all these nations that had to go through all these different trials and tribulations in order to become what they are today. And that in order to use that flag as a remembrance of the ultimate sacrifices that so many made under so many different nations' symbols, that we use that remembrance to never repeat the past mistakes. Does that make any sense to what I'm saying there?
I just want to say, aren't these false idols?
Well,
just saying, because in the commandments, I was just thinking here, we're talking about some things, and I'm thinking, well, you know, why would all these messengers bring the same message?
Yeah.
I'm questioning it. What is it about those messages? It's the same message. You could say it's almost the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Be kind to your neighbors, love your neighbors, nurturing and kind, and the Ten Commandments. The peacemaker brought it. White Buffalo Calf Woman, Pascal Wynn, brought the same message. So why would Creator, Great Spirit, or somebody, I don't care who you believe, or why would all these holy beings or these holy people, these messengers, bring the same exact message?
Maybe because...
I haven't looked at the Ten Commandments since I was in Catholic school, but I'm looking at it. One thing stands out to me is false idols.
Yeah,
don't worship false idols.
That's my point. Is like the intent that Two Dog mentioned earlier about these flags. It's the intent behind this. For example, I got a picture, and on my picture, it's like me giving the peace sign. All right, to some people, the peace sign might represent something completely opposite, but. You know, when I was growing up during the hippie era, I guess you could call it, during the 60s, everybody said, hey, peace and love, and can't we all just get along? So to me, that represented the peace sign. Now, if I've been fooled, then I've got to apologize and do something different. But nonetheless, it's all been about my intention to say I wanted peace in this world, not violence, peace and love and that kind of stuff. But to me, the cross doesn't... I don't pray to my cross. I don't pray to a statue of Mary. I don't pray to any idol or anything like that. I want everyone to know, and they say that, at a certain time in history, in the future, that if you're known to be a Christian, if you're carrying a Bible, you already see it over in the Middle East right now. Christians are being slaughtered over there. All right, and if you're known to be a Christian, if you don't have a certain mark or whatever that says it's you pretty much sold your soul, whatever, that you're going to be killed. You pretty much renounce. That's it. You either renounce your belief in Christ or you die. Well, because I feel that Christ was the messenger for me, I'm not going to renounce Christ. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to die. And I'm showing outwardly, you know, I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm not praying to this Christ. I'm praying to Christ. I'm praying to God. And so this is what really makes it hard in this world, is that, you know, am I doing wrong if I wear a cross? You know, am I showing, you know, a false idol or a graven image or something like that? I don't know.
No. Here's what I consider. You have many peacemakers in this world. Jesus Christ, the peacemaker, you know, White Buffalo Catwoman and all this, right?
Yeah.
And they were all speaking the same message. And if you ever notice in this world, any peacemaker seems to have been killed.
Yeah. That's such a... Boy, that is so incredibly true.
Now, here's the point. Here's what I'm saying. You had Jesus Christ. He was crucified. In the 60s, you had a peaceful man by the name of Martin Luther King that was shot in Memphis.
Yep, John F. Kennedy.
You had John F. Kennedy that was killed in Texas. Okay, because he didn't want the war in Vietnam anymore, and whatever he might have found out. The fact of the matter is, what I've seen is that if you're a peacemaker, you seem to die,
yeah.
or you seem to be killed. Okay.
Even those in the alternative energy, like Stan Myers, he wanted to bring the knowledge to the people so that they could, you know, be out from underneath the thumb of the governments as far as oil and the doggone power industries. John Houdini and Joseph Newman and Tesla and all those researchers, they believed that if they could give the world free energy, that there would be no reason to be fighting over coal and oil and resources and so on.
Now, let me go a little further with you. I'm right with you. Now, some people think that I'm in a dangerous spot because of the peace that I'm talking about. So if it happens, it happens. But you can kill my body, you can't take my spirit. But let me say it like this. Brothers and sisters out there, you know, I heard this comic one time, and he actually really threw a wrench in the system for a minute. He said about Jesus Christ, and he spoke about even all the peacemakers in this world. And what he stated was, it's all these messengers in the world. It's not about the messenger, but did you get the message out here?
Yeah, that's it. And I don't think a lot of people getting the message. You know, it's sad. Because, you know, even if you don't believe in a higher power or any of these things, because... all the way through history, religion, the word religion itself, I despise that word because it basically stigmatizes anybody who falls under that umbrella, such as me calling myself a Christian, and suddenly, you know, everybody looks at me a different way, and it's not because of any religion that I call myself a Christian, it's because of a story that was in a book that may or may not be the truth or not, whatever, it's what the words and the intent of what the man said, and the sacrifices that it made that I believe in. That's what I believe, that when we take care of each other, there are warriors in every nation who have laid down their life and give the ultimate sacrifice so that other people could live freely and be able to enjoy a gift that was given to all of us. Instead of fighting over it, we should have been sharing it all along, but yet they felt the need, because of circumstances, that they had to go out and put their self at risk to try to defend what should have been a God or a, you know, great spirit giving a blessing for everybody. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's the whole thing about the earth here. There's abundance for everyone.
Yeah.
But what we saw, like in Jericho, we saw there are certain people who want it all for themselves, and they instigate other people. So we have to be very careful about what people are saying to us. We have to really use discernment. And, you know, Stephen said, when you don't know what to think, see how you feel.
Yep, that's it.
And I said, that is very good advice, because this is about feeling, not about what somebody's telling you in your mind and what they want you to do. And it's about feeling. It's about, what does this feel like to me? And you have to go to your heart. We usually go to our heart. This, you know, my heart feels happy, or my heart feels sad, or whatever, you know. So we have to find out, because this is what's going on. There are really good people, and then unfortunately I have to tell you, I have to, you know, say the truth. There are those who are not good. There are those that are downright evil. And they want it all for themselves. Yes. So when we're in trouble, when things are going to ramp up, which they are, when that's happening now, we have to remember that we're all in this together, and that there are some who, of our brothers and sisters, who are basically, I say, they've sold their soul to the devil. So you can't reason with them. You can't drag them into the light, because they're taken already. They're confused. They're lost. They're in the dark. They've already sold their soul for greed, or whatever you want to call it. So we have to take charge, and we have to use our sensing abilities, like the feeling, like Stephen says.
Yep.
What does it feel like when somebody says, well, we need to go there and beat up those people because they're of a different color, or we can't give those people food because there's not enough, or there's not enough of this or not enough of that? And like you've always said, and I agree with you, there is such abundance in this world that nobody should be going hungry.
That's
nobody.
Right. But because some people literally sold them soul to what I believe is literally the devil, then there are people still starving. There's still wars. There's still rumors of wars. There's still plagues and famines and pestilence. You know, I've said this I don't know how many times. In every single culture out there, these people have lived off the land. They've learned from nature. They've learned cures for things. They've learned, knowledge that nature had provided, taught, by watching and observing and testing things. They had learned. There's so much knowledge on how to heal the sick and how to, feed one another, how to garden and methods out there. Imagine that knowledge combined with everybody working towards the ultimate goal of making this world a better place. That's the whole concept of this dream that I keep talking about, you know.
Wouldn't you say that money is a false idol?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So how many people we know... How many people we know are worshiping money?
Those who want shiny things. They got to have the money to get the shiny things. They got to have the nice clothes.
I've always said that as far as money is concerned, money has become a god in many ways. In other words, if you don't have the dollar bill with George W. Bush's mother on it, you have a problem.
George Washington.
Well, my teacher always said the words "In God We Trust" had become "In gold we trust."
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, that's been the mindset and the idol, the false idol, enough to kill people for. And what we're talking about here is why people choose to do certain things or allow themselves to be pushed to do certain things is due to fear.
Yeah,
we have to be very careful of that fear, because this is imprinted in us. It's brainwashed into us. It's part of the manipulation, the fear tactics, okay? Because this is what we're seeing now all over the news. The terrorists are coming. The terrorist is your neighbor. The terrorist is that one of color. The terrorist, fear, fear, fear. It's up to us, really, to stop that pattern in our own life.
Yep.
You know, if you're living in fear, if you're told you should be living in fear, if you're terrified because your government or your leaders, so-called leaders, are telling you these things and this fear, build the wall, you know, take down these people, arrest those people, whatever it is. And people are allowing it because they're in fear. Why are they in fear? Because the agenda is pushing fear upon us.
Well, my God said that whatever you do unto the least of me, you do unto me. And so, with that said...
Well, I'm sorry to tell you that, I'm right there with you. I believe that. That's just in my heart.
Yeah.
But I have to say that we've been removed from these sacred words, and I call them sacred words, because these words apply to everything in creation.
Yeah.
Not just people. So I'm. This is part of the agenda, and I hate to keep bringing this agenda up, but, you know, in my years here, I've really realized there is a very dark agenda behind all what's happening to us today. It doesn't have to be this way, but there are manipulators who are so greedy and who have sold their soul to the devil. I believe that. I really do. I'd never thought in my life I'd be saying this to you people, because I often say, you know, lately I've been saying I'm beginning to sound like a preacher, because I say get right with your creator. To me, that's what it's all about. Because if you don't have a foundation of faith, you know, you're going to be swayed easily by the manipulators.
Oh yeah,
you're not going to make it.
Yeah, we've already explained on technologies that can literally do just that, to sway you into believing something that ain't right or whatever, you know? Like,
yep.
A little funny example I gave about driving down the road in my car and suddenly somebody beams into my car that I'm being chased by the cops, which I wasn't. There weren't no cops around, but they beamed it in my brain, and so I'm running from the cops, and next thing you know, I got the real cops to contend with, because now I'm actually really speeding. That's just a stupid little example of a possibility that in the wrong hands, that type of technology could do that and much worse.
Well, here's a bigger piece to this, thinking of beaming information and your actions become what the beamers want you to be. So if you do the research, and again, it's all about research into the massacres, school shootings, and various massacres. If you do the research, just Google the country's massacres or shooting episodes and drugs. Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And somebody has already done a study on this, and I found the study over a year ago. They did a study here in this country and also in a couple of other countries where there was some school massacres or people were massacred by some one person.
Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox, PCP all have something in common.
Exactly. So you have, and every one, even to the one there at the recent one at that concert, that guy was on so many pharmaceuticals. Now, something's going on there when you put those pieces together, when you do that research and you say, hey, wait a second, these guys, even this one guy over there in Switzerland years ago who took out a lot of people, a young guy, the Columbine shooting, and the recent one, the other one there, the school shooting, I can't remember the name of it, that everybody's saying it's a false flag, it's not real, and people's children didn't die, and I'm not going to take a side on that, but I am going to say that that young man was on heavy pharmaceuticals for depression. And then I've looked at the mugshots of some of these people who are doing, you know, stuff that's shocking and stunning, and they are nobody's home there. Nobody's home. And then you say, well, I think it was Dylan, the guy, young man Dylan, who did that school shooting. I can't remember if that was his name. He said he used to hear voices, or his mother said he used to hear voices. I don't know. That's why he was on pharmaceuticals. But that probably made it worse.
Well, yeah. And like, they keep coming back to this doggone, you know, God helmet thing. But, you know, this was done back in 2011 is when the documentary was actually presented. But they were probably years prior to that were actually working on, you know, that. And the military is always looking for the edge so that they can win.
Well, you're using it on a conspiracy level, okay? So the God helmet, they put that helmet on. It's an experiment that could manipulate people. So they saw this, they saw that, they saw God, they did this, and so on. So if you take that technology and you use it in a bad way, which they would, of course, that's what they do. They take all good technology and use it for their own evil.
Yeah.
But again, talking about, you know, you and I both have had extraordinary experiences with the light. And thousands of people throughout the whole world, you know, and the authorities have said, well, your brain is just lacking air, and that's why you're hallucinating.
Yeah.
Now, I know that that's a bunch of bunk, because they don't want us to know the truth. You have thousands of people throughout the whole world, literally thousands, describing the same experience. They don't even know each other.
And that's another point that I wanted to actually throw out there before we have to get up out of here, but, okay, let's say you have a true miracle, a true vision. I have a true miracle, a true vision. Two Dog has a true miracle, true vision. And now that this information's out there about this particular technology and the capabilities of it, people could be having a true experience, a near-death experience or whatever, and science can now explain it away. Oh, no, you were being manipulated by this, or you had a lack of oxygen and stuff like that. And so, to me, that particular technology has the capability of pushing people yet even further away from a true spirituality. And so that brings back to what Stephen pointed out in there about listening to your heart. You see what I'm saying?
That's exactly right. And this is where I want to segue into the frequency of love, the frequency of compassion, the frequency of caring, and the other end is the frequency of hate and dark stuff. And so we're talking energy frequency ways. We're talking about this is reality. This is also proven by scientists. It's something that, you know, I've pretty much known all my life, and you, and I know Two Dog Two and many others. So this is what we're talking about, the waves, the frequency, the electromagnetic waves now through technology, but the real waves, the real energy waves, the real frequency waves that were part of creation. You know, how powerful and information this is that has been kept from us. Basically, what it does for me is it tells me the power that we were all given by Creator. You know, that yep. When you have a thought, we know that's a powerful frequency. When you have an emotion or when your words, people I think more can identify with words as being powerful rather than a thought, okay? But it's true about thought. Thoughts are waves of frequencies, and they have a different level, high, middle, or low frequency, depending on what that thought is. But it does actually create a wavelength that emanates out from you and affects people around you and the greater whole. This is where we're going. And the cabal or the controllers know that. They have that frequency to actually do that, to control your thoughts, your mind, your emotions, and your what comes out of your mouth. So there's something going on here that is extraordinarily amazing, and the other side is really freaking scary.
Yeah.
But it's all to do with a real piece here about frequency and energy. And if you are in your heart and you feel love, that's a beautiful frequency. You can feel that.
Yeah.
I feel it. We feel that. And when you're near somebody who has hate in their hate and who are negative or all that, you could feel that too.
Well, on a good note, right before we go around the table there, is that I believe that our Creator has the frequencies, the power of our Creator is so much more than all this evil out there can contend with, that if there ever comes a time when every single person on this planet is suddenly awakened and their light comes on and that true glory, that true power of creation or whatever it is that you believe, spiritual enlightenment actually occurs, darkness is in some serious, serious jeopardy. Because once those lights come on, I said it like this, if you've got one dark cave and you only have one person in there with a candle, that darkness can't never win until that light goes out. And you bring more people in there with a candle, it gets brighter and brighter, and eventually it becomes warm inside there. And at some point, it'll literally get too hot because you got all these lights on, and somebody's going to have to turn the light off for a second, or we're all going to sweat. Nonetheless, the hope and the opportunity to change the darkness, you know, to steer it away from the good people of this world has always rested in the hands of the people. It has always rested in the hearts and souls and minds and spiritual journeys of all those messengers prior to the ones that are coming in the future, because this has been an ongoing battle since day one, you know, and here we are. We're at the round table and we're talking about our battle plan. We're getting it together. We're sharing information with one another and hopefully to, you know, inspire your hearts and minds to literally do the research that Barbara's talked about and everybody's talked about so much. You know, look into it. You go into all your research with discernment. Don't panic. And always know that there is a higher power out there that is looking over looking out for you, and there are other brothers and sisters around this world that are looking out for you. People that are speaking the words of wisdom, trying to give that that hope to the hearts of the many out there that really want a better world, that are fighting against people who literally went down the dark path and sold their soul to, you know, evil or the devil or whatever. You know, this is where we stand here on the Knights of the Round Table. This is why we do what it is that we do, because we quite literally believe in the dream that one day we can make this world better for all of our children and their children and the future generations. There's no reason for humanity to continue to repeat the same circle of violence and hate and discontent with one another. There's no reason for wars on a planet where we have overabundance of resources that if we, you know, were good caretakers like I feel we were meant to be, and we take and take care of each other, we feed the homeless, and we heal the sick. Jesus said we could. You know, and I kind of believe it. He said that all these things that I do, you can do as well if you believe. You know, ask and it'll be given. That's it. That's what he said. He said you'll do greater things. I believe him. I believe all the messengers that came with a message of peace. I believe all the messengers that, you know, came and were murdered because of their good message. I believe there's probably going to be many, many more of us fall before it's all said and done. We're all gonna have to fight against that darkness. But Two Dog said something that was so profound, that was really important, something that you know, a real truth warrior would actually say. He said that they can take his body, but they will never touch his spirit. That's what I'm trying to say to the world.
That's right. I just want to finish up by saying I'm so grateful for this show. I also want to thank all the listeners out there, wherever you're living, wherever you are. You know, I always say I'm sharing with the people my personal experiences. And I always say take what sings to your heart spirit. Do the research. This is so important. Become, you know, do your research so that you can know what is going on. Don't be a naysayer or a doubter. Don't do that reflective reaction right away. Take what I'm saying, you know, and do research. Study it. Take what every one of us is saying, you know, and do that. Find out for yourself. And I just want to say I have great faith in all of us people. I really do. I feel that this has been an ongoing battle throughout history, throughout time. This is a spiritual battle, you know. This is a battle, one of the greatest challenges, I think, that we are meeting in this particular lifetime, you know. But this is nothing new for the people, you know. Our people, your people have struggled and fought and have strived to be, you know, have like that food, have the place to live, have the peace and the freedom and so on. And yes, unfortunately, there are always those who are greedy or who have sold their soul to the devil. I'm not one of them, and I don't think the listeners here are them either. There are doubters, and it's okay to doubt, but don't doubt. It's good to question, okay? Question everything, but do your own research, you know? I feel if we're talking about something like this, there's a message here, and we're receiving messages constantly. We look at Jericho, and you see, wow, there's a lot of messages there. And right across the board, for some reason, they want to see how awake the people are. But I think the main thing here is I'm going to say our togetherness, unity. We're all family here on this earth. I don't care what color you are. Creator brought us all here, brought us all down here, and we determined to come here for a reason. And I don't think it was to kill each other. I don't think it was to fight over, you know, the great abundance. There would be no reason to fight over great abundance, or even one piece of bread. I'd be a person, if I have one loaf of bread and there's 5 people, 6 people, 7, 10, or whatever coming here because they're hungry, I'd break that bread up. Because that's just the way I am. But I think that that's probably what Creator would be overjoyed about. I'm just saying. And so I think it's all about our unity. I don't care what color you are. And I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your beliefs are. You know, I'm a sister over here. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm an auntie. And I'm here because I love the people, I love this Mother Earth. You know, and I do believe that we need to strengthen our spiritual foundation. I'm not talking about religion, just a spiritual belief, a faith in not only in you, me, and others of the human family, but in a greater something. And again, I don't care what you call that. Just look around you at this earth. Look around. Look at the way things have been created. There's a mystery here, but it's extraordinary and it's magical. It's amazing the way now even scientists are finding out how, yeah, everything is related. Even they are saying that. They're not saying Matakwieo Yasin like we say, which means we are all related and everything is also, you know, the trees, the waters. There's a living essence in everything, and now scientists are saying, yeah, water has intelligence. All of life has an intelligence. What about that? That's pretty extraordinary to me. Something greater, far greater, a reason why we're here. And I don't think we were here, put here, to kill each other, to starve each other. I just don't think that. That's not how I'm just not going that way. I don't believe that. So I love you all, everybody, and I pray for everybody every day, really. I put you all in my prayers, and I'm just so grateful to be here. And I always feel this joy when we're talking on this show. We've put you through some stuff here that's kind of mind-boggling. Like we say, Shaziz and I, we say, blow your mind.
Yeah.
It's not to scare you, you know, because when we do that, guess what? Don't we always come to this point where we have solutions,
yep,
where we talk about the real truths, where we talk about the real stuff of who we really are together?
Yep.
And we identify what we have to be aware of. We can't be in the dark. We can't be ignorant or say, I don't want to know. That's not going to help anybody. So we're all here together. We're all one big family. That's all I'm going to say. Pilamayato. Well, Sha.
Thank you very much. Those are also awesome words. And I'm on a funny note, I'm going to work on that Faraday hat and put them out there for the people, man. Just in case. You never can tell. Mine's going to be cool. It's going to have a beanie. Hers is going to have a feather in it or two. Or what kind of feather did you say you wanted in yours?
Oh, let me see. Well, I don't know how easy it gets. I'll take a couple of those iridescent turkey feathers.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I have my other feathers. I don't need any of those. I got my eagle feathers. I got my hawk feathers. I got all that. I do have turkey feathers, too, but for a hat to wear around,
yeah,
turkey feather would be fine.
All right, so folks, don't let them mess with your brain out there. Be safe. Two Dog, you got any words of wisdom?
One chief actually said a long time ago that there was enough land for all. And, well, you see what happened. I'm going to get this out real quick. Now I'm going to send a prayer to this world. God, Jesus, get you money to all the names that people will call you around. I send a weak voice to you. I ask you, Creator, to look at the people's hearts and let it see what is real. I thank you, Grandfather, that you have allowed me to open my eyes in the morning and to see you in the morning as your son comes. Grandfather, I thank you for the new friends that I have made on this show and to the peace thought that is in all of our hearts.
Barbara's being interrupted again.
There's many times things can happen, but let this thing come to pass. And may we all have love, honor, and respect with all. A hope.
Uh-huh. Amen. Well, folks, that's the mad science, duh. That was yesterday, sorry. That's the Knights of the Round Table. We're sending ripples of positive pebbles out there that hopefully produce a tsunami of love that, you know, won't rip your house off the beach or anything like that. It'll just cover you in all kinds of joy and hope and peace and love and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of tsunami that we want. We want people to be able to experience some of these things that we've experienced. You know, some of the visions and the dreams of a better world. This is all possible. You know, everything that we're talking about is possible. Two Dog's vision's coming to pass. He's up to 65 flags, and those flags will represent all the different parts of the planet and people that want to come together, the people that want to come together and make things right. And before it's all said and done, I'm still working on it. I'll make sure that there's one flag for every state in my country, because I want all people to be represented every place. And if you're listening in on this broadcast and you want to send a flag of your nation or whatever to Two Dog, you know, contact one of us. We'll show you how to get it to it. That's it. Because one day I want to stand next to that tree of peace. I want to have tears of joy in my eyes and a warm feeling in my heart, knowing that this world, that the people of this world are starting to get it. They're starting to understand what it means when I say I believe in the dream. You know, I believe in my country. I believe in those three words at the top of that Constitution that says, we the people. I know we're the truth.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh,
one hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one? Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we the people of the world that bring about true change, peace and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great
old
one.
Woman!
Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. We're table. So many times we've given rise that our quite something able. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.